Integrity Houston, maneuver in progress, 5 minutes. And Integrity Houston for the enabled SM RCS prop cautions. Those are, again, understood with the maneuver, and we are working to suppress the ones that are enabled.
Sounds good, Amy. We copy all.
Integrity Houston, no action on the enabled caution again, and I have a couple of items for you whenever you're ready.
Okay, Houston, we're ready. Go ahead.
Okay, first off, to address the cabin environment, we're going to command cabin fan speed lower from the ground.
Thank you.
Two more things. Also, you probably already have, but your go to set cockpit and cabin lighting as well as DU brightness per your preference. We are well out of the eclipse.
You're right, we have. Thank you.
I figured you might have, and we're also at that time where we're ready for you to do the CCU dump, and I have a procedure when you're ready to copy.
Stand by on that one.
Standing by.
Okay, Houston, we are ready to copy the CCU dump procedure.
Okay, it is 26.2.201 CCU dump, and step 1.1 is complete for configuring heaters. We've done that from the ground.
Okay, Houston, we copy. Thank you.
And as an additional, once you get there, there's a check step in step 5.1 for confirming heaters reach set point. They are there, so you're good to continue once you get there.
Okay, we copy 1.1 and 5.1. Thanks.
Houston, Integrity, question on CCU dump, also a status. The O2 N2 med checkout activity is complete.
Copy status, ready for question.
Yes, the CUD-1 CCFA was not installed yet. I have located it. Am I go to remove all of the packaging around the connectors and go ahead and connect it to CUD-1, or is there a procedure I should be referred to for that?
And, Christina, you are go to remove all the packaging and to connect ECFA to CUD-1.
Copy all.
Integrity Houston for upcoming conference.
Go ahead for upcoming conference.
Whenever you're ready, we can privatize Orion to Earth 2. Integrity Houston, Orion to Earth 2 is privatized for your conference.
Houston Integrity on Orion to Earth 1.
Houston's here.
You can go ahead and normalize Orion to Earth 2 and then Reed is going to have a PCD question. I'm having a little bit of network issues. I need some troubleshooting assistance.
Copy. We will normalize. Integrity Houston, we are ready for your PCD questions whenever you are.
Okay, Amy, this is just on PCD1, logged in users, CDR. When I am trying to open Optimus, I am getting an error. Let me open it and try to read the error I'm getting.
We copy so far.
So I get a screen that says, welcome to Optimus tablet with an exclamation point, and it says we need to gather some basic information to get you started, and it's got three questions. But then staying on top of that, about one-fifth of the size of the PCD is a pop-up window that says network error, operating system is reporting access to internet as unavailable. Check to see if device has network capabilities enabled.
We copy, and we are chatting.
Copy. Troubleshooting steps I have tried is I've tried running the network configured Wi-Fi, and I've also tried a shutdown reboot, but I'm open to trying those things again.
Copy your troubleshooting so far.
In Houston, we have a stowage question. Would you have a second?
Ready for stowage question.
As we are working on the Eclipse wall, we need new, fresh comfort garment stowage location for Christina and Jeremy. We're having a little bit of trouble finding their new comfort garments because we're going to stow them with the suits.
Copy. We will look that up and get back to you when we have it. Integrity Houston for comfort garment locations.
Oh.
Thermal comfort garments for Christina and Jeremy are in Foxtrot 3 CTB large labeled med kits with a purple label.
Copy. We're checking it out.
Houston Integrity for CCU dump, step 6.1, requesting that you deactivate the secondary wastewater dump line heaters.
Copy. Thanks for the call. We will go ahead and leave those on for your awareness.
Copy.
Integrity Houston for Reed PCD troubleshooting.
Go ahead, Amy.
Okay, Reed, we suspect the issue with your PCD may be Optimus software. We were able to connect to PCD 1 on, we can see on the network. So with your go, we can remote in and take a look directly.
Yeah, go for it. And then I also see that I have two Microsoft Outlooks, and neither one of those are working. If you want to remote in and check Optimus on those two Outlooks, that would be awesome.
All right, we will join in on your PCD, and we'll let you know when we're done. Integrity Houston, for your awareness, we have increased the ping timeout to 2 hours, 51 minutes to encompass the KUS PDL compass.
Okay, Amy, we are pretty knee-deep in cabin config. Just to confirm, we are not expecting a forward or return link LOS for the next little bit.
Correct. Integrity Houston, 1 minute to DTE handover. Integrity Houston, comm check on DTE pass.
Houston, we have you loud and clear, Alice.
Loud and clear.
Excellent. We're just going to continue running through cabin config.
We copy.
And Amy, I got a stowage note for you. Just we stowed our used comfort garments in Ziploc bags in the F4 locker. In the F4 locker in the top nominal waste management system comfort garment bag, which was empty.
We copy.
Houston Integrity to right RHC.
Houston's here. Say again.
For the right RHC, C2 RHC, is there any way you all can open the RPC for that and save us the commanding?
Checking. And Integrity Houston, affirm we will perform the right RHC RPC open command from the ground.
Okay, Amy, thank you very much. That helps.
Houston Integrity for cabin transit config steps.
Houston's with you.
First off, can we get a go for step 7?
Checking. Christina, you are go for step 7.
Copy. And I can give you step 8 is complete. Counterbalance pressure is 2600.
We copy.
Houston Integrity in cabin config, step 4 and step 7 are complete.
Copy. Step 4 and 7 complete. And we want to let Reed know that we are done remoting into his PCD-1. We were able to resolve the issue with Optimus, and for Outlook, we were able to get it open. It will show offline, which is expected.
Okay. He copies.
Integrity Houston for AGA readings when able.
Go ahead.
Hey, Reed, sorry to pester you during your sleep period. I know you guys are finishing up cabin config. When you can, we will take AGA readings.
Okay. I just turned it on, so I guess I'll give it 5 minutes, and then we'll give you a call.
Thanks, Jeremy.
And Amy, we'll just sync up with you on where we got to on cabin transit config, and then we'll pick up the rest when we're awake.
Sounds good to us.
All right, we already called down. We're complete through step 4. Step 5 we skipped for now. Step 6 we also skipped. Step 7 and 8 are complete. 9 and through 11 are complete.
We copy all so far.
Yep, and that's about it. Looking at the rest, we haven't really tidied all the rest of that stuff up, so we'll have to get to that tomorrow.
Okay, we copy.
Houston Integrity, couple sync questions. First one, just because today has been a little bit jumbled, are we safe to assume that any toilet non-use that's not per Optimus you would call up? We're thinking about calling you to see if we can use it for the next, like, 20 minutes or so before we sleep, and instead wanted to check that assumption.
Checking. And Christina, you are good to use toilet all night.
Copy, good to use it all night, including the toilet unavailable that we see on Optimus. Thank you for that. And speaking of all night, What time should we expect our wake-up music?
Checking. And Christina, to answer your question for wake-up music, it'll be towards the end of post-sleep after the second sleep period.
Copy. We thought we provided enough songs for even waking after the nap, but no worries. We will set our own alarms for PRB. Thank you.
And Christina, you are indeed correct, and we checked our song inventory, and we do have a song for a wake-up for PRB op, so we will provide that.
Okay, thank you. That sounds great. And may we request that around 12:30 MET?
Yes, we will provide that 12:30 MET.
Fantastic. Thanks for an awesome first day. We are climbing into our sleeping bags.
Okay, and to end that day, whenever the 5-minute timer is up for the AGA readings, we'll take those, and then we'll bid you a good night.
Hey, Amy, I can give you those now. CO2, 3.4. O2, 18.8. Pressure, 14.55. Temperature, 65.8.
We copy all, Christina, and with that, it has been a fantastic day with you all, and good rest, and we look forward to working with you tomorrow.
You do as well. Take care, guys.
And Amy, as we prepare for sleep, we might have a few more questions. Do we need PCD3 wired, or can we leave it wireless?
Checking. PCD3 can be wireless.
Okay, outstanding. Thank you.
See that the encoder is connected to the 20-volt power display, power supply 1431, so I'm thinking that is the switch to power cycle. And it's going to power cycle both encoders 1 and 2.
Yeah, that's our bad, Jessica. We agree. It's on the power supply. Thank you very much.
Okay. Okay, that has been recycled. I'm double-checking my connection, Sami, you guys. So I've got the 50-foot HDMI cable that is running to the HDMI adapter, display port to HDMI adapter, and that is plugged directly into the scope.
Copy that, Jessica. Would you be able to check the inverter GFCI cables as well?
Affirm. I can see lights on the encoder box, so I'm assuming it does have power.
Copy that. Good news.
You still want me to check the GFCI?
No, I think if we've got power, it should be no problem. Thank you for asking.
And I can see the green light on the power supply as well, so I don't think that's the cup.
Copy. Good config.
One thought, I know that we've had a bunch of troubleshooting like with the projector before, and that's the other thing that we use that adapter for, and I'm not, I don't know if there's another adapter cable to try.
Okay, copy that. Station Houston on 2 for Jessica. No response required. I just want to give you a heads up that Huntsville is trying to take care of some commanding to regain the view, so we'll be back with you shortly, probably a couple minutes.
Two copies.
Houston, station on 2. I was just looking for words on those WHC fasteners.
Houston's with you on 2, Chris. So we were able to chew on it a little bit. We'd like to ask you to obviously go ahead and install the fasteners in those two missing spots. Then for any of the fasteners without D-rings, we'll let you use your judgment whether it would be better to R&R them to secure the panel or not. Just let us know in the end how many you have installed and how many remaining spare fasteners there are and the state of the panels.
Okay, copy. Yeah, I think some of that comes down to what your guys' intent is. So the fasteners without D-rings are not usable. There's no way to, like, twist them or install them. I think the panels are plenty secure without all of the fasteners present. So I'm happy to leave them with, you know, just a couple fasteners. But if you want all the fasteners in, then I think I should replace those ones as well with fully functional ones.
Okay, copy that, Chris. And in that case, we'll just have you go ahead and replace them all. And for what it's worth, we did try to find some extra D-rings, and we weren't able to find any. So that's why we're going with this plan.
Yeah, that makes total sense. Appreciate the context. Appreciate you guys looking into it. And then I assume just trash the D-ringless fasteners.
And Chris, what we'll ask is, we'll have you hang on to anything that is quote-unquote good, being those fasteners without D-rings, and then we'll give you a sort of solution or plan a little bit later today, whether that means temp stowing or trashing.
That sounds like a great idea to me. All right, I'll put them in a Ziploc bag, and I'll put them on lab port 6 with our kind of miscellaneous TBD stuff, and we'll look for a plan later. Thank you. I appreciate the help.
Thank you, Chris. No problem.
Integrity and Christina, good morning to y'all as well.
Integrity and Christina, good morning to y'all as well.
Things are progressing well.
We can do a quick tag up
here shortly. Once we get our story ready.
That sounds good. In the meantime, none of us have a PRB burn pad. Is that expected?
That is expected. We are in the process of uplinking a burn pad right now, and the burn pad will be labeled with the version 2. I'll let you know when we think it's on board.
Happy. Houston Integrity for cabin temp.
Go ahead, Christina.
Yes, it is very cold in the cabin. Any chance you can make it warmer or reduce the cabin fan speed a bit more so the ventilation is not blowing as hard?
Checking. Yeah, Christina, understand. While y'all were asleep, we did turn one of our knobs that we have, and that was the rad loop set points, and we saw a very small increase in the temperature, and so we're going to take a look at some of these shell heaters, and we'll let you know when we start putting some of that in work, and we can see if that affects the temperature in a positive way.
Thank you, Mike.
Also, Christina, when y'all get a chance up there, we'd appreciate an AGA reading.
Happy, we'll get on that now. Speaking of post-sleep duties, we did check the avatar lights. It was 8 LEDs on in the top row, 7 in the bottom.
Integrity, Huntsville on Orion Earth 1, we copy for avatar. That's a good config. Thanks.
Integrity, Houston, the burn pad
copy,
is...
Copy, and hello, Huntsville.
Burn pad is now available on the PCDs, should be version 2, and we'll be ready for a conference whenever you are.
We see it, and give us a few. And Mike, we are ready for the conference. Also, are we go to start our targeting, our final targeting at this time?
Hi, Christina. For final targeting, that has just been completed. We had it automated on board. We're taking a look at the results, and the results are good. As far as the burn conference, I have no comments for y'all. You do see the yellows on the burn pad, but that was just a delta from version 1, which y'all don't have, so you can disregard the color coding.
Okay, great. We just saw that final targeting come in as well, and the UTC of ground generation in the files we have is April 2, 26, time 10:20.
That's the correct version.
Excellent. Anything else for us in the burn conference?
Nothing else from us, Christina.
All right. With that, we will continue executing.
Integrity, Huntsville on Orion to Earth 1 for Avatar.
Go ahead for Avatar.
Yes, Integrity. Just wanted to get some clarity on which LED was not illuminated. There should be a number underneath or above the LED. Just need to get the number of that LED that is not illuminated.
1-6.
Copy, 16-1. Copy, 16-1-6. Thank you.
Affirmative, thank you.
Houston Integrity for Burn, Pad, and Plan Deltas.
Go ahead, Christina.
Hey, Mike, two small items. The trim limit on the burn pad is 0.2. On the plan, we see 0.1. And second item, our burn pad has a predicted EI time. Can you verify we can ignore that for now?
Right, Christina, you can ignore the EI time. We're checking on the term.
Okay, good read back. And with that, our next check with you is for your go, no-go confirmation.
Christina, Houston is go for the burn.
Integrity copies.
All right, Christina, and you are correct. Trim limit is 0.1.
Copy, thank you.
Integrity Houston, the solar arrays are in position for the burn.
Integrity copies.
Integrity Houston, less than a minute to the burn attitude maneuver.
Okay, we copy that.
Good morning, Jeremy, and also the tank pressures are good for the burn.
Okay, we copy that.
Integrity Houston, we see y'all in the burn attitude.
And we see the same.
Integrity Houston, we're tracking a good burn.
And we see the same, and with a bonus trim burn.
Integrity, we have AGA readings when you're ready.
Good morning, Victor. We'll take those readings.
Morning, Mike. You have CO2 2.8, CO2 19.0, 8.1 degrees, 14.55 PSI.
All right, Victor, we copy all. Really appreciate it.
Houston Integrity, we would like to ask you to finish up step 23 of orbit burn execution for us, if that's okay, so we can get positioned for the EMRCOM check.
Definitely, Christina. We'll take care of the rest of 23.
Thank you.
Houston Integrity for EMRCOM check. I'll just confirm you are handling step 1 of 21.2.8.
Good morning, Reed. Yes, we are taking care of step 1, and in step 2, the antenna will be number 3.
Copy 3. All right, Houston, we're picking up in step 4 of EMRCOM checkout on antenna. We'll get to antenna 3 in a second.
Houston copies.
Houston Integrity in the line, COM checks.
Integrity Houston, I'm calling on OE1. I heard your call down on EMRCOM. We're still configuring uplink. I'm going to attempt to call on EMRCOM on uplink here shortly.
Okay, we are in instruction 26. Do you want us to hold here and leave EMRCOM on? Do not execute 26.
Yes, let's stay here, please.
Hey, Mike, we have you loud and clear on EMRCOM as well. Houston, we have you loud and clear. Okay, copy that. Okay, we're picking up in step 8 of EMRCOM, powering off emergency comm radio. Houston Integrity, comm check on S-band.
Reed, we have you loud and clear on 1. How me?
We have you the same. We just didn't want to let you go without saying the view out window 3 from about 38,000 nautical miles. The entire half of the Earth is spectacular.
I love to hear that so much, Reed. So glad you guys are getting to experience it. I do have 3 quick questions for y'all before we sign off for the rest of the night.
Go with your 3 quick questions, and then I'll give you one more kind of sit-rep update here.
Fabulous. Can you just give us a quick report on the audio quality for EMRCOM in terms of, like, clarity and pacing and stuff?
It was crystal clear, maybe a little lower volume, but that might have been my fault because I didn't have the volume all the way up on the F7 EMRCOM panel, but it was outstanding.
All right, excellent. Great to hear, Reed. And then My other question is about the cabin temperature. We did raise the shell heaters. It looks like it's gone up a couple of degrees in there. Hopefully that's a little better. The question is, was the coldness more just from the cold air directly coming from the vents, or would you say it was just the general cabin temperature?
I'd say it is both. The general cabin temperature is low, and then the spacecraft over by the toilet and the side hatch is noticeably colder than the side over by the PWD and the food warmer. It's high airflow volume and just cold air.
All right, Reid, thanks for the report. And my last one is actually more of a comment than a question. I know we were having a little trouble with the handheld mics and y'all's volume coming down to us. Just wanted to be clear how the mic is set up. It sort of has a front and a back. They look the same, but the microphone side, just under the top of the mic, will have a little black raised nub that you can feel and maybe particularly see. That is the microphone side of the mic. You flip it over 180, it looks the same, but that is the noise-canceling side of the mic. So just ensure that you're talking into that side for that.
That is a great note. We've adjusted by how we hold the mic. I do confirm we are speaking into the mic side. And how has the volume been on this operation? By how we hold the mic, I do confirm we are speaking into the mic side. And how has the volume been on this operation?
Ever since y'all have been awake for this PRB ops, it's been loud and clear. We have no concerns.
That's great. We'll keep with how we're holding it. Speaking of the temperatures, we are going to retrieve our crew suitcases so we can get long sleeves on. We have been using the ones that we have out so far. We're into one of the E lockers. Can you let us know where all of the crew suitcases are? All they say on ours are D and E, and we're wondering if we should open both sides or not.
All right, we're checking.
And, Mike, we found Glover Hansen in the E locker so far. So I'm guessing we are going to have to get into D. But let us know. Perhaps it's just on the other side of E.
All right. And, yes, got confirmation down here. We do expect you to go into locker D Delta to get the other suitcases.
Okay, we copy that, Mike. And if you have maybe 2 minutes, I'd like to just talk about some photography operations that might feed into the science team.
We do have those 2 minutes, Reid. Let's go.
We're noticing on the GoPros, on video in particular, it's very hard to get the gains to come down. Everything is just very white, bright, and washed out. The iPhones, you have to manually go in and bring the gain down, and even at that, it's very difficult. It's like walking out back at your house and trying to take a picture of the moon. That's what it feels like right now, trying to take a picture of Earth. On the D5 with the window shroud and window three, D5, long lens, window shroud on window three. Very easy to maneuver. We're using a 3-frame bracket, and we're getting some outstanding pictures of the Earth. They seem to be pretty crisp, even at 400 millimeters. So on a good first hack, the window shroud with the long lens is a very workable solution. But the more modern cameras are definitely having trouble gaining themselves down. Maybe there's some ideas that could be come up with in the next day or two to help us out on that. That's it.
All right, Reid. We copy all. Appreciate the input there. We'll go take a look at it and see if we can come up with something for you. In addition, we are going to go ahead and lower the cabin fan speed by another 1,000 RPMs, and hopefully this helps with it, and we can reassess in the next morning.
Okay, that sounds good. Can you look? Do you have the either the ISS track or do you have the world map up in there? And can you tell me the sun is set just west of a continent? I can't tell what continent it is, whether it's South America or Africa.
Reid, we're expecting that sunset that you're seeing right now should be right on the Indian continent in India.
Yeah, I just wanted to describe for you guys the beauty that we're seeing. You can actually make out the coastline of the continent. You can make out rivers because of the sun glare. You can see high thunderclouds, and all the while you can see the entire Terminator, and you can see the South Pole lit up. It's just phenomenal. And even from this far, you can make out a slight pink hue along the Terminator. It is just absolutely phenomenal. You guys look great.
All right. Thanks, Christina. Glad it's looking great for you.
I'm glad we got to do some comm checks with you for real, Mike.
I know. I wouldn't miss it for anything else in this mission. So I made sure, Dr. Love here, I got this EMER comm shift just for this.
Hey, Mike, thanks for the great overnight support there. We really appreciate it. It's been a good first. It's been two orbits of Earth, I guess, and this one's just got a 38,000 mile apogee. We're going to pick up at 26-1-100 pre-sleep checklist, and then we're going to dim the cabin down and get some rest. Thanks for your support.
Yes, great PRB day. Excellent flight day one, y'all. Get some good rest, and we'll be in touch in a couple hours.
All right, sounds good. Here's Houston Integrity on one for sleep.
Go ahead.
Mike, I just commanded the ARS state to sleep. I just want to let you know, in case you guys are doing some manual commanding on those fan speeds, I might have just overridden you with that.
No, Reed, we were anticipating you setting the ARS to sleep, so it did not affect the fan. And one last question for you. Is there anything that you want to report to the AMMT before you'll go to bed?
On the technical side, Mike, I'm sure you all are covering it down there. We are getting a lot of the prop system cautions. We also see on string two, string one and string two, some cyan data on the oxidizer pressure, and for a little while overnight I saw the same on the fuel pressure on string 2, manifold 2. Right now manifold 4 fuel pressure is missing. So we are just seeing some nuances there. That's interesting. We've gotten those CMUS 300 cautions, but I think those are just due to the wrong settings in the system. And other than that, we got a few things. Integrity on one contact.
We got you loud and clear. Sorry about that. We're just going through a data rate change. Snuck up on us. I copied all the way. You were talking about the cautions, and then I said, other than that, we've got a few things, and then that's where you cut off.
Okay. Just looking over the SM prop system, there's some missing data from time to time on string one and string two manifolds on the pressure side, and we see that kind of shifts across different manifolds overnight. And right now, manifold 2 and 4, actually 5, 2, 4, and 5 all show either missing oxidizer pressure or fuel pressure. We've just been watching that. And then cabin temperature is probably the biggest one impacting crew habitability right now. But honestly, a few other things we would talk to Jeff about on Ascent and just some post-MECO items, but none that would be a lean against the AMMT.
All right, copy all, Reed. And for the cyan that you're seeing on the manifolds, it is tied to these cautions that come up. And so this is why you can see 2, 4, and 5 are cyan, because we've got cautions and alarm with 2, 4, and 5. The data changes a bit when the cautions come in. So we're working on that to get that changed.
All right, Mike, sounds great.
All right, Reed, that's all we have. I'll have a great night.
You as well. Good night, Earth.
Houston Integrity for wake time.
Go ahead, Christina.
Hey, Mike, looking at the timeline, we would like to ask if it's possible to have our wake-up music at MET 20 hours.
We will make that happen at MET 20 hours.
What a guy. Thank you, and good night.
Good night to y'all as well.
Houston Integrity, one go back on wake-up music.
Go ahead, Christina.
Yeah, thanks. What is your nominal plan? Like, if we weren't specifying a time, what time would you play the wake-up music?
Plan was to do it at crew wake, so right at the start of your post-sleep.
Okay, great. In that case, if you don't hear from us, we will count on that, and you can consider that good. So tomorrow isn't necessarily changing that norm. It's just to prioritize sleep for this short period.
Hi, Christina. Houston copies all.
Houston, airlock on cue for EVA tool stow track step 5.05.
Chris, we've got 5.05 up. Go ahead.
Hey, I'm working on deconfiguring some of the MWSs. These steps here basically are telling me to take the RETs off, and subsequent steps are telling me to take the RETs off and put them in inspected RETs. Question is, do you want me to perform a RET inspection on these RETs before I do that? I did see some notes earlier in the procedure about any RETs we find on the outside of bags that we should inspect. I just wanted to double check for these ones.
Copy, Chris. Give me a second. All right, Chris, yeah, if you don't mind doing inspection now, that'd be great. Just saves us an inspection later. If we put them in the bag known, they're good to go.
Okay, and I just heard Jessica was just saying that she already inspected the RETs and waist tethers and adjustables that are on the mini workstation, so I guess it may have already been done. If that's okay, I'll just put them directly in the inspected then.
Be right back to you, Chris. One second.
Huntsville, Sofian 2 for Zeebo.
Sophie, Huntsville's with you on 2. Go ahead.
I was wondering, does it matter to choose Lab Chem 1 or Lab Chem 2? Because Lab Chem 2 is already very well positioned.
LabCam 2, it works for us.
Great, thank you.
And Sophie, once you get that set up and before you get started in your ZBot procedure, I have one MSG facility reconfiguration task for you. It should take about 30 seconds when you're ready.
I'm ready now.
Look at that. On MSG, in the top right feed through, there is a video cable that runs down to the MSG HD video drawer. That cable needs to be Velcroed to the handle of that video drawer. I think you guys have it secured now, but our engineering teams requested to be Velcroed to that handle, if you could do that.
Velcroed to the handle of the video drawer. Copy that.
Thanks so much.
Okay.
Sherlock Houston on 2.
Station on 2 for Shrimp.
Huntsville's with you on 2 for Shrimp.
Just double checking, the humidity removal unit, I'm holding it from the camera now. You can see that there still is a little bit of liquid like inside those tubings for some of the connections. You guys are okay with just still filling it even though there's definitely some liquid remaining in there?
Checking.
The second question, step 1.30.1, says place the humidity removal unit in its original stowage bag, but when I unstowed it, it was actually in this inlet acoustic box. So is it supposed to go back in the box?
Was there a bag in that box when you unstowed it?
Yes.
Copy that.
And Huntsville Station M2 for cable.
Sophie, go ahead.
Right now, in order to Velcro it without having too much, a too small band radius with this one, I would need to unplug it and replug it, because, or unplug it and replug the one from laptop, MLC, MSG laptop. Reason is that right now one is on top of the other, and for Velcroing, I need have the other configuration, so I just need to unplug, replug one of those that I just mentioned.
Copy, Sophie, checking. And Sophie Huntsville back with you on 2. You can unplug that white video cable and replug it however you see fit to get the cable Velcroed.
Do that. I will unplug, replug this video cable.
And Houston, airlock on 2, you were calling for me?
Yeah, Chris, sorry for delay. We're good with your guys' plan. If Jessica inspected those, they're good to go in the bag.
Copy that. That all makes sense. Thank you.
And Sophie, we copy that view. Thank you so much. And stand by. I'm getting one more direction for you.
I'm ready to copy.
Sophie, sorry, one more. There should be a day 3 port also on that video drawer that is missing its cap. It should have a tethered cap, if you could just cap that back. Perfect, Sophie. Thank you so much. This will make engineering very happy. And then when you get going in ZBot, you are go in step one.
Go in step one of ZBot. Thank you.
It's been airlock on two for 5.15.
Chris, with you on 5.15.
Hey, just wanted to double check that you want me to go and take the D-ring extenders off the EMU. Just wanted to double check that because we've got plenty on the various EMUs. So yeah, just wanted to check that. And I believe these should be the ones that this is referring to are on EMU 3013.
Happy Chris, give me a few more minutes. Station Houston on two for Chris.
Just with you on two.
Hey, Chris, so the plan was to put them in a bag, but we're trying to find out the reasoning behind that to see if we can just leave them on the suits. I'm assuming that's why you're asking. If that's the case, you can skip this until we get an answer from the increment team.
Yep, that's exactly why. Yeah, it looks like both of the suits that are currently stuffed into the crew lock have D-ring extenders on them, and so does 3003, which is on the aft EDA. So I figure if there's no reason to take them off, just put them back on again, might as well save a little bit of digging through the crew lock.
Makes sense to us. So, yeah, just leave them where they are now, skip that step, and we'll get back to you later if we really need those removed.
Sounds like a great plan. Thank you. Huntsville Station Jackson 2 for Falcon Goggles.
Jack, go ahead for Falcon Goggles.
Good afternoon. You guys are welcome on board both the cameras here in Columbus. Let me know if you need an update on the bees.
Wonderful, and I do have two small updates for you for the views. If we could get the VCA-1 camera panned out some and the Columbus HD camera zoomed in on the laptop screen.
All right, bigger view on VCA-1 and a tighter view on Colcan.
Exactly.
Houston, airlock to step six.
Oh, Chris for six.
Hey, there is also a large small ret on the EVQ MWS. Assume you want this to go into the same inspected crew tethers CTB, but wanted to double check.
Hey, copy, Chris. So you're saying step six has you deconfigure EVQ's mini workstation, and there isn't a step to remove that. We just want to make sure we also need to remove that one.
Exactly, yeah. There was a step to remove all the other rets, but not a step to remove the large, small rets. I just wanted to make sure I should remove that and put it in the same place as all the other rets. I meant inspected rets, not inspected crew tethers, if I said that earlier.
Yeah, Chris, no problem. We're just trying to get everyone on the same page here. But, yes, we agree. You're going to remove that one.
Yeah, thank you.
Sophie, Huntsville copies the thumbs up, and the PD reports that was a great gas injection. Thank you.
Great news, and so I guess I switch directly to the next procedure, right?
Affirm, proceed to the hard drive swap. Station Huntsville, space around two for Jack and Cypher.
Back up two.
Hey Jack, we saw you in step three log into the HRS profile on that PC. If you could please log out and log into the goggles profile for today's operations.
Will do.
And you can pretend you're snorkeling while you're doing that if you need to.
I guess that's a pretty good idea. Houston station airlock on 2.705 and 7.06.
Go ahead, Chris.
Hey, I just assuming there's a typo. These steps seem to be the same. I assume one of those is for small rets and one of them is for piston rets.
Copy 2021, Sophie.
Okay, Chris, yep, you're right again. Those two just a typo, so you've got the right idea. And I do have a follow-on for the D-ring extenders, if you're ready.
Copy that, and I'm ready.
With the EVAs not being for a few months, our overall goal is just to isolate all of the equipment that we've already inspected or will inspect. So we do desire for the D-ring extenders on both suits to make it into that inspected mesh bag. Helps us avoid re-inspecting them in the future if we have to, or just keeping everything together.
Yep, sounds good. I'll take those off. One question. So there's currently three suits. The suit that was the EV2 suit for the, well, I guess it's unclear which exact one. Do you want me to take them off all three suits? Or it's, I guess it's a little unclear because the suit that is currently on the aft ETA was the PV2 suit for the prior EVA and has two D-ring extenders on it. And so we want to leave those. But then we also have two suits in the crew lock that have D-ring extenders on them as well. So I just wanted to double check which ones we're actually looking to take off, or is it all of them? I assume we want to keep two on for the OFP, though.
Good point, Chris. Let us clarify. We'll get back to you.
Still, station checks on two, ready for ground configuration of the VEST software, step four.
And Jack, we're actually complete with step four already. We're ready for step five.
Got it.
And Sophie Huntsville, space ground two, that's a good serial number.
Airlock Houston for Chris on two. Hey Chris, so the goal is to put the D-rings that have been infected, our understanding are those would be the ones that are on the suits that are currently on the ETAs, so any of the D-rings that are on those. And we understand we want some D-rings for Sophie during OFE, so we'll work a plan to get two of the ones that maybe are not yet infected on that suit for OFE.
Okay, I understand the big picture. However, so the two suits that are on the ETA, one is 3005, which has no lower torso, and the other is 3003, which is the one for Sophie's OFV, and I believe that has the D-ring extenders that I took out on EVA and have not been inspected. Two suits that are in the crew lock were the ones that Jack was configuring and Jessica was configuring, and I believe those both have D-ring extenders that were inspected. I believe Jessica had a question about hers with some fraying that she sent down. But those are the ones that have had the inspections on them, so I just wanted to confirm.
All right, Chris, we just got video back. We understand the situation. Let's go back to our original plan. Let's just stand down on D-ring extenders, leave them where they are.
Okay, yep, copy all. Sounds like a plan. Okay. All right, sorry, Huntsville Station, back on two for Falcon Goggle setup.
Jack, go ahead.
Just want to clarify if we're on three or four for the exam, and then also as a two hands-free kits. Do I understand maybe we didn't use hands-free kits last time. Do you guys have a recommendation on that? Sorry to clarify, hands-free comm kits.
Jack, your HRF team is checking on that answer, and I will let them give you that answer on space to ground four. Dean and Victoria are ready for you guys.
All right, I'll head over to the Quattro.
Huntsville Station, Sophie and two for ZBot.
Go for ZBot and double thumbs up.
I think that's procedure complete. I'm just going to work on the stowage part, but if it's good for you, procedure complete.
And Sophie, we are all happy down here. We can call that complete. Thanks so much for your help.
You're very welcome. Anytime. By the way, just realized it was an Emma day today.
All Emmas all around.
And Emma, just a question out of curiosity, although I don't need to know, but just because I'm curious. This Xenon system still has some gas for future use in it? Or was it all transferred?
That's a good question. That bottle is actually complete. There's no more gas left in there.
Okay. And so, second question then, will it go into trash at some point? I see in the storage note it's restored to the current location, so Columbus A1J1.
And we're not planning to trash those. The payload developer would actually like them returned to the ground so they can take a look at them.
Yeah, that makes sense. Thank you. I have my answer, so. And the Huntsville Station CFN2, just for one last word about stowage. So the full hard drive bag number two has two hard drives in this. I guess you're tracking this.
Copy all, we're tracking. Station Huntsville, space to ground two for Sophie, and go back.
Is with you and
two. And Sophie, those hard drives that you just showed us in the bag, were they both the old hard drives that you pulled out of ZBot?
Yeah, they were old hard drives.
Yeah, the one that I had this time, and I guess the one that we removed the previous time.
Okay, so we actually need those to go in two separate bags, one in a hard drive bag one and one in a hard drive bag two, and then we're looking for those serial numbers.
Okay, and I see I already relocated the bag two, so I'm going to go back and pick it up. But I can do the hard drive bag one for you.
That sounds good. Sorry for the go back. You were moving so quick, it took us a second to catch up.
No worries at all. And I imagine that there should be three in each and not four in one and two in the other one. So this is why I wanted to report it to you so that we can track what's going on in there.
Yeah, we appreciate it. And we're all on the same page now.
Okay, so I'm going to show now to the camera the contents of the bag number one.
Copy serial number 2019. And serial number 2013. Copy 2004. Copy 2029.
So they all have the number bay number one on it.
And Sophie, that's a good config. Thank you so much for the confirmation.
And Emma, so just so that we track, there was another ZBook NC full hard drive bag one into the CTV in the lab, so it's 5552, if I can read from here. And so in the end there are two bags, number one, and I'm going to show you right now the label of this one.
Copy. Copy 2009.
Do you want me to combine the two bags all in one?
Negative. We'll need two bag ones, and then we should end up with two bag twos as well once you move through your stowage notes.
Okay. I'll go see the other location in Columbus for the bag two, and I'll come back. Do you want me to come back with all of the serial numbers so that we can do the same assessment of what's in the bag number two?
Affirm, please.
Still station 152 for hard drive bag number two.
Go ahead with number two.
So actually, there are three bags labeled number two. So one in with two hard drives in it, the other two, and the third one has one, two, three, four, five, two. Yeah.
And we copy, Sophie. That is what we're tracking as well.
And Huntsville Station took in two. I'm ready to describe you the content since we don't have KU right now.
Stand by, Sophie. Just where serial number 2020 ended up today, what bag it's in, we expect it to be going into a bag two. And if you could report that serial number of that bag, that would be all we need.
So the 2020 went into the full hard drive number two, and serial number is ZBook 0152 Uniform.
0152 Unicorn. And then did you already stow all of the bags from bag one?
Affirm. It's really right there, so I can go back.
Nope, that's okay. We just wanted to see where everything was. So we're in a good config now if you want to keep going with your stowage.
So actually we were always in good config, right? This is what I understand. We were just checking because we were surprised that the number of hard drives were different in the different bags, right?
Affirm. Sorry, that was poor phrasing on my part. We were always in a good config. We just had to track everything down here.
And since I had time during the LOS, I also checked that all of the bags which are labeled bag number two had hard drives which were labeled a number 2. So we had, in one bag, we had the 2020 and 2010, and the other bag, 2001 and 2012. The only one that I did not check is the oldest one with the 5 hard drives.
Perfect, Sophie. We copy all. Thank you so much for the extra information. You know that we lose track of things when we're down here, so we always appreciate all of the extra help.
And you know what? We also appreciate giving extra help, too, so good teamwork.
Station Huntsville, space you're on 2 for Sophie and Cypher Photos. Station Huntsville, space you're on 2 for Sophie and historical photos.
Okay, listening on 2.
Sophie, Chris and Jack are running a little bit ahead of schedule. If you have a second and can go take some historical photos of them performing their exam, the ground teams would appreciate it.
We'll do that.
Station Huntsville, space you're on 2 for Chris. This is a reminder for your upcoming hand pass with a rise time of 15:41.
This is in Columbus by the ham and copies 1541 as the rise time. Thank you. Houston station on 2 for UID.
Hey, Chris, for UID. You ready for my words?
I'm always ready for your words, Costa.
Okay, well, we appreciate you doing this calibration. Wanted to give you some background. Looking at the data, the previous time we did this, we only had about 30% of what we had previously seen. It could be that the probe is wearing out, or it could be technique sensitive. So I just have some reminders for the techniques.
All right, I'm ready to hear them.
All right, the key one or the assumption for us is just make sure you're using firm pressure on the probe. And, of course, it's tricky. You don't want to be too firm to where it starts to skip. So you want to keep it smooth, but give it a little bit more pressure. Maybe the light pressure is causing this decrease in strength. And then, of course, just make sure you're going slow when scanning so that we can avoid any dropouts. We want to see the encoder wheel smoothly rotating versus dragging. So you do want to see that wheel rotating.
See that. Firm, smooth, and slow.
Okay. And then we're not 100% sure whether the medical gel will be harder or easier to move the probe. But we think it's a good substitute. So just FYI when you use that medical gel. And then lastly, could you please take a photo of the probe contact surface? You think it might be starting to wear down, and we just want to get some data on that.
Copy that. Yeah, it's been a bit. Sergey was doing all the measurements last time since we were getting him prepped to do it. So it's been a bit since I felt it, but I'll do my best to give you a comparison of the ultrasound gel versus the sonogel, and then I will take a picture of the scanning surface.
Hey, Chris, appreciate it. Good luck.
Thank you very much. Houston, station on 2 for MWAs.
Chris, go for MWA.
Hey, so I think we cleverly switched my UID task to clear out space for shrimp, but now I'm realizing that Jack has an OCT2 setup activity right now on the MWA, and we know that the teams on the ground need a little bit of time to get everything all configured. Do I have enough time to do the UID cal, and then we can set up the OCT after that, and then will the ground team still have enough time, or should I try to figure out an alternate spot to do my UID task?
Hey, Chris, let's go ahead and prioritize your UID. We'll delay Jack's setup if that's okay with him.
Okay, yeah, as long as there's enough time, for them to, once we get it set up in an hour, then no problem. Should be easy peasy.
Copy all. We'll plan for that.
Houston station on 2-4 UID 3.5.6. We had a good calibration scan, 80.44 millimeters.
Thank you, Chris. Appreciate the work.
Houston airlock checks on 2-4 EVA tool StowTrack line 9.08.
Hey, Jack, with you, step 9.08. Go ahead.
I want to double check the part number on these CANA connectors. The two that I found match except for the last three digits. The last three digits on the one I found are 373. The part number here is 371. Just wondering if that's a typo or if I still got to keep on.
All right, Jack. Yeah, we understand. We'll take a look through our database and let you know. You can continue. And while I have you, I have a to a comment you made earlier on StowTrack.
Listen.
All right, step 3.3, you put away a fish stringer in a mesh bag. That can go to its final location, which is going to be the large ORU bag that's deployed. You're going to put a second fish stringer there later in step 11.07. So we should end up with two fish stringers in the large ORU bag.
I will put that in work, and I think that'll be the only thing that's in that large ORU bag right now. Is that what you're tracking to?
Affirmative.
Oh, thanks. Appreciate your help. Spin, Chris is on cue for UID.
Go ahead, Chris, for UID.
Hey, two quick things. Looks like the XTT of this had me do 6 scans rather than the 2 scans that the procedure normally has. There's only 2 spots to write file names down in the procedure. I'll just crew note the other ones, I assume. And then the second point slash question is, it's XTT that after 7.11, I should power off the inverter and deconfigure the power chain. I wanted to make sure that that is not what I'm supposed to do, because I'm using the setup in the Node 2 MWA. It's the same power chain that we're going to be using for OCT, so that I should just, obviously power off the switch for this port and the GFCI, but then just unplug things and restore them.
Okay, Chris, we understand the XTT issues there, and yeah, we're good with your plan. As long as you put them all in the same folder, we should be able to find all 6 files. So no issues there. And thanks for the note on the power chain. Give us a few minutes to think that through and get back to you.
Yeah, this is the XTP before step 7.11. Setting it up at the MWA instructed me to plug it into the GFCI that's already there on switch 3 on inverter 1040, which is also the same one we use for OCT. I'm assuming that it's just put it back to the way it was, which not being powering off the whole inverter and the power chain.
Yeah, Chris, so we got the answer. That's our intent, so try to get back to the way it was. Thanks for catching that.
Yep, copy that. And then one last question is, do you want the StowNode has me putting the ultrasound gel just back in the HRF green drawer. I guess my question was, do you want me to keep it with the UID, or do you want me to put it back?
Hey, Chris, we borrowed that gel, so we want to send it back to them. We're flying you guys up some new ones specifically for the UID, so please return it to its place for now.
Copy that, and I can feed back that, it's been a while since I've done a UID scan, but it felt very similar to the Sonagel W, maybe a little bit less sticky than the Sonagel W, but I felt effectively the same.
Okay, thanks for the data. We'll pass that on. And Chris, you can come back to me later, but a follow-up to the fasteners from your WAC panel later today, I have a trash location for those, but no need to do that now. Just let me know when you want that info.
I can pick that now.
Okay, big picture, we got to go to trash them, so you can put them in the hardware JSP.
Sounds good. That's where I figured we were going with them. Thank you. And Houston, Chris, on to you. One more quick question for UID.
Go ahead.
Hey, step 9.2 just says to copy them into the iDrive Ops OCA down. But I think it would make more sense, and what you said last time made me think that I should make a subfolder for today's UID CAL scans and put them in there. Is that what you'd like?
That sounds like a good plan, Chris. We'll take your recommendation there. And while I have you later on in this procedure, it's going to ask you to report the quantity remaining of the gel. So before you put that away, I just wanted to give you that heads up.
Yep, I see that, and we'll report it. Thank you.
Station Houston on 2 for OCT setup for either Jack or any willing crew member.
Go for OCT setup.
Hey, I know we delayed OCT setup so you can get to Toolstow. I think the MWA is clear now. We'd like to get that started so we have enough time to get prepped on the ground. So if you don't mind, we'd like to get the OCT setup started.
Hey, we are going to get on that right now.
Appreciate it.
Stand station on 2 for OCT.
We're with you on 2. Go ahead.
We're set up on the starboard MWA, and SSC 17 is ready for your ground commanding for setup.
You copy. Thanks.
And welcome to
for questions. Go ahead.
On row 9.15, we found only one dry wipe in the mesh bag triple jump, and looked also in some other mesh bags, didn't find it. So was wondering if you were tracking just one dry wipe or.
OK, Okay, Sophie, we copy. We had you looking for two. You can only find one. We will investigate.
And Chris crew noted it in the row number.
Okay, copy that. And Sophie, if you can pass this on for yourselves, we have an answer to a comment Jack made for step 9.08 related to the Canon connector caps.
Brief me on this, so I'm ready to copy your answer.
Okay, he reported he found two caps, but with a different part number, and we are okay with the other part number, the -373. So we can mark that step complete.
Marking complete with a -373.
In airlock 2, 9.17 and 9.18.
Okay, Chris, with you on 17 and 18. Go ahead.
Hey, so we are having a disagreement with the expected configuration of the socket caddies here. So we found one socket caddy in the Dunn Tools mesh bag, and that socket caddy did not have any sockets on it. But per steps 9.14 and 9.17 and 9.18, we would expect to find one socket caddy in the triple jump bag and then one socket caddy with a 5/8 by 2 inch rigid in the Dunn Tools. But all we found was one socket caddy in the Dunn Tools.
Okay, Chris, just to read that back then. So you've only found one socket caddy with no sockets in it?
A firm.
Okay, we will investigate and get back to you.
Copy. Pretty sure I remember coming back in with a socket caddy with a 5/8 by 2 inch rigid on it, so it should be here somewhere, I would guess.
Yeah, we understand, Chris. I'm sure we EVA team had your back out there, so we'll look for it and we'll get you the location.
Copy that. Houston, airlock on 2. Regarding that 5/8 by 2-inch socket, I do know that I, when I was unstowing the mini workstations a little bit earlier, there was a 5/8 by 2-inch rigid socket in the EV2 trash bag on the mini workstation that I took off. I'm not sure if that's the same socket you were expecting on the socket caddy or not. I'm wondering if in getting configured for the second set of ModKit EVAs that got disassembled.
Hey, Chris, that's a great data point that helps us narrow down. So we'll take that back and keep investigating, but that helps. Thanks.
Just an airlock on 2 for step 9.20 and 9.19.
All right, 9.20.19, go ahead.
Yeah, it says to stow all sockets from our sort of temp socket bag in 1.01161, and then it says to trap the empty Ziploc bag. But the Ziploc bag contains a couple more items. It contains a bubble wrap bag with a number 10 Allen bit quantity 2. Also contains what I think is the AMS like palm wheel type thing. So I was wondering where these should go.
Okay, we understand the two items that are left in that Ziploc, so we'll add that to our list of info to get back to you.
Copy. Thank you. Just for tracking purposes, I'm going to leave that Ziploc with the two number 10 Allen bits and that palm wheel in a Ziploc bag temp stowed in airlock 0 for now.
Copy airlock 0 for temp stow.
Then airlock Sophie on 2 for question.
Go ahead, Sophie.
For row 9.39 and 9.14, the scoops were not deployed in the same mesh bags. Like, one was in the triple jump instead of Dunn Tools, and the other one was in the Dunn Tools instead of the triple jump. But I guess I can recognize a square scoop and a round scoop, so just I wanted to be sure that I stow them, and I tick the box.
Okay. Sophie, yeah, no problems. As long as they one of each ends up in the CTV, we are go to check those off.
So they both end up in the CTV serial number 1387, labeled scoops per procedure as well.
Thank you. Station Houston on 2 for tool stow and Ziploc bag.
Go ahead on 2.
All right, for that Ziploc you stowed in the airlock 0, we have the final location. It's going to go to 1.0 CTB, 1161, the EVA sockets and drivers CTB. All three items can go in there.
Copy that. The two number 10 Allen bits, serial number 11 and 12, and the AMS knob that appears to be 1002, but hard to tell because it's covered in tape, will all go in 1161.
Great, Chris. And if you'd like to keep them in the Ziploc bag, that's fine with us. No issues there. And also for your awareness, in step 9.26, when we reference the AMS hex head capture tool knob, that's that palm wheel you found.
Ah, okay, cool. All right, yeah, and I'm also working 9.25, so I also have the other AMS knob. So I've got two AMS knobs that I'm going to stick in there.
Sounds good. And then for any available crew member for an SSC check in the lab.
Excellent, to you for SSC in the lab.
Okay, SSC number 4 looks to be on battery power. Can you please check power on that laptop?
I'm not 4, we'll do...
And station up to you for lab SSC.
Go ahead, Jack. We've got you on video.
It's like cobalt brick 1321 that SSC 4 is plugged to is in the OFS position. I can just switch it back on, or do you want me to go further upstream?
Jack, we're good with you turning it on, and let's see what happens.
A good LED on a cobalt brick and a white light on the back of SSC 4. Looks like it's shut down for battery anyway, but it does look like the power cord's not working.
All right, Jack, we copy. Thanks for the troubleshooting.
Send airlock 2 for Delta.
Go ahead, Sophie.
On row 9.36, the torque wrench and the other torque wrench as well, they are stored in airlock Delta 1, Bravo 1, instead of Alpha 1.
Okay, we understand the final location of both the torque wrenches is Bravo 1. Thank you.
Thank you.
Houston, airlock on 2 for a question.
Questions are my specialty. Go ahead.
Absolutely. I just wanted to ask where you guys are currently tracking the location of strut bag serial number 1002 along with the three Bravo mod kit like struts. That's currently in the crew lock, and I wanted to make sure you guys were tracking that is there.
Yes, we are. That is where we tracked it and expected.
Perfect. All right. That makes me happy. Thank you.
Houston, Huntsville, station on 2 for shrimp.
Huntsville's with you for shrimp.
A couple questions on this last activity. So I believe I asked and reconfirmed that the green dye was just food coloring, so we're not worried about it, you know, doing anything bad. What we usually do with wet towels here is just, like, leave them out to dry, so we reclaim the water and then, you know, can throw away the dry towel when it's dirty. I would suggest we do that instead of throwing away a bunch of wet towels that are still wet. Actually, I think they're probably some of them are almost dry, so I was just wondering if that's okay, if I could just reclaim the water and then just throw the towels away in the dry trash instead of the wet trash.
And Jessica, checking, I do know that these need to be trashed, but I'm checking for the exact reason for you.
Okay, yeah, we are definitely we'll trash them because they are kind of grossly green looking, but since it's nothing toxic, I figured it's better to just reclaim the water, and we were reclaiming the water all day while they were left out to dry, so I don't really see any difference with the plan, but I'll let you guys confirm that. And two other questions for shrimp. Just a reminder that I do have that USB drive. I know it was a backup method, so we weren't necessarily planning on it, but I have that USB drive, and let me know what you guys want me to do with that, if you want me to download that, where I would put that. And third question is the Borescope hardware CTD 5541. I don't think I saw that in a Stono. It seemed like it was just still staying here, or did I miss that?
And Jessica, we're tracking that's in line 6 of your stojo for the Borescope, and I have some USB words for you if you're ready for that as well.
I do see it in line 6, but it tells me to just re-stow it to the current location. So that's why I was, it seems like we don't usually leave it here at the MWA. Oh, and sorry, I actually see it now below in the restow in line 43.
Yes. Sorry, yes, I spoke too soon on that. 43, PMM1, overhead 42.
Okay, I will put that back in PMM then.
Thanks. And then for the USB, if you could report the serial number of that USB for us, and then we'll have you chimster that and just let us know where it is. We're going to track that on the ground and make sure that we get all the video that we need. And then once we're complete with that, we'll give you guys release information for the USB like we do with the flashcards.
Okay, copy that. It is serial number 1080. It's a 64 gig USB flash drive. It's in a tiny Ziploc bag labeled Shrimp, GMT091, and I will put it in the little case that we have where we hold the flash cards for you, the camera cards for you guys.
Copy. Thank you so much. And then for the towels, give me just a second. I'm getting more words for the towels. And we are all good with you reclaiming the water for the towels, so you're good to just do your nominal process for that.
Okay, and then lastly, the humidity removal unit, you know, has been just sitting here on the MWA kind of drying out. Do you guys want me to leave that out to dry longer or to just go ahead and stow that for the previous donut?
You are going down my list, so we are good with you stowing that even if there's some water left in it. You can use the 24 by 24 Ziploc that you got earlier and then stow it in the 4.0 CTB serial number 5134 per your stowage note.
Okay, perfect. I see that. I'll do that now then. Thank you, guys.
Oh, thank you. We know there was a lot of back and forth for this today, so we appreciate all the hard work.
All right, so I'm glad they got some good data. Sounds like they were pretty pleased with the results.
Station Houston on 2 for tool stow and socket caddy at your convenience.
She's listening on 2.
Sophie, so Chris reported not being able to find one of the socket caddies that has a socket in it. But we have a potential location to look. It is the IDA bag that is in the airlock 1, X0 behind the closeout. Maybe look through that. Jack was messing with that earlier today, and perhaps it's somewhere in there. There's lots of flaps that things can easily hide.
And again, the name of the bag?
It is the IDA cable bag.
Oh, the IDA cable bag.
And, hey, just one quick thing. I was talking with Jack earlier, and he was setting up one of the EV2 mini workstation, and that did have a 5/8 by 2-inch rigid socket in the trash bag of that. And I think he said he thinks he got that from the socket caddy that that I'd brought back in that had come in the cable bag. So I just want to make sure we're not double counting them. Do you know how many we're supposed to have in terms of socket caddies and those 5/8 by 2-inch rigid sockets? We can just see if we've got them all.
Hey, Chris, we copied the data on the trash bag. Yeah, give us some more time to do some more math here.
Houston Station, Sophie and Tufer, question about wire ties.
Go ahead, Sophie, for wire ties.
So in the bag on tools, I only found a set of short wire ties, 16 inches and not 32 inches. I guess they all will end up being stowed in the same location, airlock overhead 1 alpha 2. This is row number 9.44.
Hey, Sophie, we copy. We're just discussing. Give me a moment.
Sure.
Station Houston on 2 for Sophie and wire ties.
Okay, so leave you on 2.
Hey, Sophie, thanks to you and everybody for their patience with tool stow. We're definitely slightly out of sync with what we know on the ground versus what we had in here for starting location. So we appreciate all the comments, and we're doing our best to track it. For the wire ties, I'll point you to step 9.47 for our final config. If you look all the way at the right at the notes, our final config is to have 5 long wire ties and 4 short wire ties in the caddy. Everything else can go into the wire tie mesh bag you referenced in step 9.44.
Yeah, a copy all, and makes sense. I tracked this as well. So I think I'm going to get ready now for the stowage conference now. And so I think it's also a good stopping point because all of the step and the further are preparing the large ORU bag.
and I prefer to not start and stop like in the middle of all this configuration. So I'll make a note, make sure that Drew is aware as well. And yeah, we'll do all this when we start the barge or you're back.
Sounds great to us, Sophie. Thanks very much.
Well, thank you. We'll get there.
Houston Air Lock on 2.
Jessica, if you're calling for Medox, you have a go.
I actually already completed it, but I did was calling you about something in the airlock that I figured you were a perfect Capcom to talk to about. I don't know if anybody, we were talking about this as a crew, and I don't know if anybody mentioned it earlier today with previous activities, but the location, the airlock forward one behind stowage panel location, you know, where we stow all the medocs and everything, that location is extremely full. I think maybe more full than you guys realize. So, like, getting the medocs out and, like, getting things in and out of there is actually a real pain. I just wanted to let you guys know that maybe we can think about in the future maybe offloading that a little bit. Like, for example, right now there's the two 1.0s that have medocs in them, 5140 and 5046, and those are completely full. And when you slide things in, also because of the EDA, like those bags are so full, you have to really wedge it down, and it's really difficult to get in there. And then also, given that these are, you know, kind of sensitive items like the medocs and batteries and rebus and stuff like that, I think we might want to try to offload it a little bit so it's not so jam-packed.
Yeah, copy, Jessica. Thanks for the feedback. It's always great to get that first perspective. So pass it on to our stowage and EVA team.
Hey, awesome. Thank you. Be talking to you today.
Yeah, I love coming on here and seeing you. I don't have my socks on today, but I've got to send you a picture later.
Awesome. Well, you know I'm always happy when I'm in the airlock.
Give me the green light. Give me just one night. I'm ready to go right now. 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 I see you move, I'm checking your smile, working your back like it's going out of style. Shake just a little bit faster, shake just a little now, girl. I'm dying to meet you, so let's mess around. Got an obsession, I'm getting down. Come just a little bit closer, I just need permission, so give me a green light, give me just one night.
Good morning, Artemis 2 crew. While you're soaring beyond Earth, we're sending a little piece of home your way. Here are some messages from your NASA team to brighten your flight day.
From your friends in ERA 3 Flight Systems Branch, we are go for exercise.
Godspeed, Artemis 2. Let's go fly from the Orion engineering team. Woo!
Wishing you an excellent mission around the moon from the Huntsville Operations Support Center's Systems Engineering Team.
Go Artemis!
From the Marshall Space Flight Center Earth Science Branch to the crew of Artemis 2.
We wish you success! We need to have some perspective!
We just wanted to wish you a safe trip to the moon from your JSC SWAT team.
From the Wild Island Radar 5 crew, go Artemis! Godspeed!
Good luck from your Orion Mission Planning Team.
I'm up team wishes you a safe journey.
Go
from all of us at NASA's Launch Services Program,
we're so proud to support the journey to the moon.
Houston Integrity, we are ready to go, and that was awesome. Thank you for all of those messages.
You are very welcome.
Houston, Chris is with you on 2 for OCT Snow.
Hey, Chris. Good to hear from you. I've got some updates for you if you're ready.
I am ready.
All right, earlier you guys asked if we can leave that stuff deployed. We have a middle ground here. So the OCT camera and the spectrometer do have to go back into a CTB to protect it. So if you look at your deconfig steps in step 7, if you don't mind performing all steps except 7.6 and 7.7, we can leave that Velcro and the NWA where it is. And instead of returning the hardware to PMM, you guys can leave it where you wish. Let us know where it ends up.
Okay, yeah, if it's got to go back in the CTB, I'll just leave it in NO2DEC2 if that's the case. And, yeah, I mean, this is maybe just a bigger piece of feedback, but, like, the thing is not super well protected in CTBs. We always feel bad about putting it back in the PMM, especially with all the stowage. So it's just maybe something to think about for the future of how to keep this rather delicate thing safe. I think our on-orbit perspective is that, honestly, it's sitting out in the MWA is just as safe, if not safer, than it being a CTB. But I will put it in the CTB for now.
Yeah, we copy, Chris. Every little feedback is good, so we appreciate that. And while I have you, we are going to cancel the USOS portion of Evening DPC. We don't have any topics for you guys. So we'll take anything you have now. And if not, do you mind passing that on to the rest of your crew, including Sergey?
Absolutely. I will check in with all the other folks to see if anybody has any topics. I'm seeing that Jessica and Jack are wildly gesticulating that they have no topics. I will check in with Sophie as well, and I will let Sergey know. But if you don't hear from me, assume we are all set.
Excellent. Yeah, we saw the excitement. Looks a little dark for us there, but that was great. And one thing for you, Chris, for your TEMSA location, just know that we do have some NO2 stowage activities tomorrow, so in case that changes your positioning.
Yeah, we'll leave it in NO2. I'll take a look tomorrow, and if NO2DEC2 doesn't work out, it'll be in NO2DEC3 or just under the MWA, honestly, in the CTB. I'll figure something out and let everybody know.
Excellent. Well, you guys have a great night. It's always a pleasure to talk to you and work with you. See y'all.
Likewise. See ya.
You said Integrity for Toilet.
Good morning, Integrity. We're with you.
Hey, we're complete. If you all want to start the flush early, that's up to you.
Checking. And we just want to confirm that you're talking about the wastewater dump.
Confirm. I don't know if it's helpful to start that early for you all or just for it always to be on timeline. Just want to let you know we're cycle through to the toilet for the morning.
Thank you, Reed. And yes, we are enthusiastically excited about doing that early. You are go for that. And Reed, we'll let you know when we're complete.
Integrity. Houston, good morning from Integrity. We are ready to go for the morning conference.
Good morning, Integrity. I have a couple of topics for you. First, regarding timeline. We have a PCD uplink in progress, and then you'll have updated flight plans that will end in Victor 2, version 2, as the most current. I have a couple of DU items for you. First, the nominal burn plan has been uplinked, and that is in slot 1. And then second, as we were updating the flight plan to the DUs, we believe it was open on DU 2, so it may not show the updated plan. So please, at your convenience, close and reopen the flight plan on DU2 and reset it to the current day's plan. I'll copy.
Can we copy slot 1 is nominal, and we will close and reopen the flight plan on DU2.
Good copy. For your SA, during the eclipse after the TLI burn, we're going to rotate to put the CM window 2 facing Earth for about 30 minutes. And then a question for all crew on cabin temperature. Currently, the cabin temp is set to 70 degrees, but our actual temp is reading 73. If you'd like to stay at this temperature, please let us know so we can raise the set point to prevent the vehicle from cooling down.
Yeah, Stretch, thanks for asking about the temperature. I think the consensus from the crew is no colder than this. We love it in here right now.
Happy, Victor. Would you prefer us to raise the set point from where it is now?
Yeah, we like this set point for daytime, and it may be up a degree at nighttime.
Okay, copy, Victor. All right, our plan will be to raise the set point so that the cabin temperature stays at 73, and then we can plan to raise that a degree or two for sleep.
Okay, Chris, is that all you have for us?
One last item, and this is for Reed. We've put together some words for you on how to do GoPro exposure adjustments. We're working to get that uplink, and it'll be in a crew message. We can let you know when it's on board. That's all I have.
All right, Stretch, thank you for the Chris, thank you for all the info this morning. We have reopened the flight plan on DU2. Avatar is the same as yesterday for POIC. 8 over 716 is extinguishes out. We also grabbed some AGA readings earlier this morning. We got them at 2018 MET CO2 is 2.4, 02, 19, 3. Pressure 14.6 and temperature 71. Heavy faces all around on that one.
All right, Houston copies. Do you guys have any questions for us before I pass you over to flight for the vehicle status conference?
No other questions for you, and questions from the mission summary. Active watches were done for the timeline, and the D5 times were already set.
Okay, we copy those reports. Thank you very much. All right, I'll pass you over to flight. And Integrity, for information, we're going to start the conference in private on OE2. Integrity, Houston on 1 with a comment about the smoke detector.
Going 1, Chris.
We've seen several spikes in the smoke detector signal since crew wake, and we're guessing that this is probably associated with movement in that area, but we did want to give you a heads up that it seems to be sensitive. How copy?
Okay. That's a good heads up for us. We're having a look. We don't see anything outside the norm, but that's a good essay. Thank you. The one question why I have you, Chris, I assume that my Nat Geo timeline is flexible, that I could do that earlier.
That is a good understanding, Jeremy. You can do that earlier.
Okay. Thank you.
Integrity, Houston, Orion to Earth 1.
Go for Integrity.
Hey, just to make it clear in the open here, we are go for TOI after the MMT concluded their deliberations a few minutes ago, and we're going to proceed down that path and get ready for the burn here.
All right, Jeff. We love those words, and we're loving the view. We're falling back to Earth real fast, and we're looking forward to accelerating and back to the moon.
Integrity, Houston, I have some steps for bagging water when the crew member who's going to do this task is ready.
We'll call you back in a few minutes, Chris, for those words.
Copy.
Houston, Integrity on 1 for water.
All right, Integrity. Big picture, we are going to be using drink bags and straws, drink bags that are filled from the PWD and just a straw used from any bob. We transfer water to the urine syringe and use that and a QD to go to a contingency urine stowage bag, and we're going to fill up one of those bags. We believe that this is going to take 2 crew to perform because the interface between the straw and the syringe itself is quite, it does not have a perfect seal. And so it's going to take 2 hands to manipulate the syringe and another set of crew hands to apply back pressure on the PWD. I'm going to give you a procedure reference that has some excellent photos for what we're going to try and achieve in a reverse order from what is listed in the procedure. And then I have the stowage locations for these items when you're ready. How copy?
Big picture, I copied. Go with the procedure in reverse order.
Reed, I copied that big picture, you understand, and got a procedure that will go in reverse. It came in a little bit broken there. The procedure we're referencing is 26.7.410, contingency water bag fill. Specifically, step 4 has that picture we're talking about. So perform step 4.4 first, but instead of filling the drink bag, you're going to be draining the drink bag into the syringe. And then you'll screw on the QD onto the syringe and perform steps 4.2 to 4.3. To fill the contingency urine stowage bag instead. We expect that this sort of water shuffling is going to take about 100 times to fill the contingency urine stowage bag. It's about 20 liters. I'll copy so far.
I think I copy enough so that we can get started, and if we have questions, we would call you. Continue, please.
Fantastic. All right, and as you're working that syringe, it's going to be best effort to get a good seal between the syringe and the straw. We have some washcloths we'd like you to gather for fluid that is not caught in there. And also best effort to remove air from the syringe before you put it into the contingency stowage bag. Let me know if you're ready to copy location.
Ready to copy the location.
All right, you're going to gather the contingency urine syringe in locker D, JSB labeled urine bag 1. You're going to gather the contingency urine stowage bag from the same locker, Delta, JSB labeled urine bag 1, same bag. You'll use 2 unused drink bags, 1 straw, any bob, and you'll gather 2 washcloths from that same locker delta, bag 3, and they should be inside a fecal canister with serial number 1039.
Hey, Chris, copy all.
Okay, understood. We'll be standing by for questions as they come up.
Actually, Chris, before you go, just the first 2 items, just read the full actual name. The 2 that are in locker D, J, and B, you're in 1. Read me the names of those 2 items.
Those items are contingency urine syringe and contingency urine stowage bag.
Contingency urine syringe and contingency urine stowage bag, correct?
Good read back.
Okay, we'll do our best and we'll call you if we got questions. We know the big picture, we know what we got to do, and it's the little details that we'll be a call on later.
Sounds good, thanks.
Hey, with TLI around the corner, do you have a deadline when you want this complete by?
And Reed, that'll be best effort to get as much water in that bag up until TLI.
Okay, copy all. Houston Integrity, we're ready for the burn conference at your convenience.
Integrity, we're ready for the burn conference. Our preliminary burn plan is on board. No vehicle system status changes since our vehicle conference minutes ago. And I do have an updated burn pad for you. The burn pad TLI version 03. Let me know when you're ready to copy some deltas. Integrity 1 go back, you will see on board burn pad TLI version 01. UTC of ground generation will be 92 days, 17 hours, 40 minutes, 0 seconds.
Hey, Chris. Yeah, that's what we got, and we just saved a new version, V3, now. You can go ahead and do your deltas.
First, the DAP load, that will be 0 ground DAP. In the guidance solution box, delta VTOTE will be 1275.4 feet per second. For XYZ delta V, Y is going to be 338.1 and Z, -273.6. Copy.
I got all that, Chris.
Copy. Finally, in the burn notes section, you will see the power down steps in PVE. We have 2 additional notes for you. First, top system pressurization will not occur at burn config segment, but will occur during the burn. Second, EPS cross tie is on, ON, and shall remain on through TLI and the TLI eclipse.
Okay, we copy the prop system config at gig, and then the cross tie will be on through the eclipse.
Good words. What questions do you have for us?
Hey, Chris, I think we only have 1 question for you, and it just has to do with optic coupler response and who's going to be front for that if we have good comm. Are you planning to take care of that from the ground if we get one of those? Or do you want us to just execute our trained response if we see that and just run it out of caution and warning?
And Jeremy, if we have that optocoupler glitch, we will take the response from the ground.
Okay, that sounds like a good plan. And if you could just plan on calling that up to us that you've got it from the ground, that would be good.
Absolutely, Jeremy. We will inform you we're taking that from the ground if it's applicable.
Integrity, do we have a go to run TLT?
Integrity, you are go.
Okay, we're targeting the burn. Houston, Integrity for contingency water bag fill.
Houston's with you.
Question, do you want us to fill from dry and thick, or do you have a preferred water source for the fill?
Integrity, we have no preference. Whatever you're configured for now will work.
Okay, Houston, enough from Integrity. We are going to pull half from Pry and half from SEC just to be ready for any next worst failure.
Houston copies of that plan. Integrity, Houston, preliminary targeting is complete and we have good targets on board. We will continue to plan for no intermediate targeting.
Okay, Integrity copies good targeting and we'll plan to skip intermediate targeting.
Good copy.
Houston Integrity on one for Reed's Ethernet cable activity.
Go ahead, Reed.
The PUP1 Ethernet port right now is being used by the docking camera. Do I have a go to just disconnect that Ethernet cable there and connect the new Ethernet cable over to the 4K encoder?
I'm checking. And Reed, that is a good plan. You can disconnect that existing Ethernet cable and continue with the 4K encoder install.
Work, thanks.
Houston Integrity, RHC setup is complete.
Houston copies.
Good morning, Chris. It is great to hear your voice.
Thanks, Christina. Great to hear yours as well. And sitting next to me is Jenny, who's going to be helping me out on console today.
Jenny Gibbons, hello from your crew.
Christina and Integrity crew, it's a pleasure to be with you.
Great to hear your voice, Jenny. How was the launch?
My launch experience was pretty darn good. I don't think it was as good as yours, though. It's great to see you guys off the planet.
Yeah, I'm glad you're there to see it with the family.
Thanks, guys. Good work up there.
Integrity Houston, for information only, we are updating the dead bands on the vehicle just in case you see a small maneuver.
Integrity to the 4K encoder cable swap activity is complete.
Houston copies.
Houston Integrity, question on docking camera remove activity.
Go ahead, Integrity.
Hey, Chris. When we are done removing the docking camera with its cables, we see that the stowage note says it should go back into A3 locker. Are we okay to keep it temp stowed in the docking tunnel? We're thinking it eventually will go back on.
Christina, that sounds like a great suggestion to us. Thanks.
Thank you.
Integrity Houston, for your information, most TLI PCL plants are on board. Burn plants are in slots 2 and 3 with titles PCL, PLS, and PCL, PLS, RTC left.
We see the same. Thank you.
Houston, Integrity on one for a quick big picture sync.
Reed, we're with you on one.
Hey, Chris, I know with the water activity, the timeline is just a bit of a question mark. So Jeremy and Christina are taking a few things off of me and Victor right now, but they're going to focus completely on the burn. Victor and I have the flywheel set up mostly complete, but I am not going to start exercise. I'm going to start water fill with Victor. And then once we feel like if that's a one-person task, I will come over and exercise. I will not start exercise without calling you.
And, Reed, that sounds like a great plan to us. We're standing by.
Houston Integrity for AGA readings.
Christina, we're ready for those readings.
CO2, 1.6. O2, 19.0. Pressure, 14.5. Temperature, 71.2.
Copy all. Good readings. Integrity Houston for docking cam storage.
Go ahead.
Christina, one follow-up with the docking cam. We'd like to do our best to protect it, and so our recommendation is if you'd like to leave it temp stowed, use the case it flew in, or you're welcome to stow it in the locker Alpha 3 at for the stowage note. It's best ever to be to protect our little docking camera friend.
Yes, absolutely. What was the first option you said before putting it in the in A3? Was it just to cover it with a bubble wrap or something? I just missed the words.
Yeah, Christina, you can use, we're recommending the case of the foam packaging that it flew up in.
Yeah, sure. I'll package it in its clamshell, and it'll live in the docking tunnel. I'll let you know if that does not work.
Thank you, Christina.
Houston Integrity, after evaluating, we restowed the docking camera in its clamshell back in A3.
Copy, Christina. Docking cam is in A3. And for you and the rest of Integrity crew, please stand down from toilet usage while we perform a wastewater dump.
Copy. Houston Integrity for timeline, we are deferring the secondary AGA checkout, if you concur, to work on water ops.
We concur. Thanks, Christina. Integrity Houston, we've had a successful wastewater dump. Toilet is go for use.
Houston Integrity on one for exercise.
Beaver with you.
I just want to confirm that the arrays are in a good config and you're ready for exercise.
Yes, we are go for exercise. Thanks for checking.
Okay, I can't promise this is going to be the full protocol, but I'll at least give it a shot here in the cabin. We have a lot of other work going on, so I may have to defer, but let's give it a try. Here we go.
Understood. We're interested in how it goes.
Houston Integrity question. Just curious if you see any vehicle dynamics during exercise.
Jeremy, funny you should ask. We're watching a small oscillation visible in SAW camera 2, and GNC has informed us that it is registering on our IMU sensors. Nothing of concern, of course.
Okay, copy. We'll keep read exercising. Houston Integrity for Nat Geo.
Go ahead, Jeremy.
Two questions for you. I did the settings on the GoPro Max, and when I turned it on, everything was wiped clean. So all the settings I updated, and then I turned it off and turned it back on, and 360 video was not there again. So is this something we're going to have to do every time we power cycle the GoPro Max is re-established 360 video?
Checking.
And the other thing you can check on for me is I've got a second GoPro Max here. I expect it is a spare. Where do you want it temp or stowed?
Jeremy, for the second GoPro Max, you can stow that back in the bag it came from or stow about the cabin per crew preference. Just let us know where.
Where this one goes back. So if you could tell me where the Nat Geo Pro Max camera should be put back to.
Jeremy, we'll have you stow the spare in bag one, yellow label.
Okay. Copy bag one, yellow label. I assume that is in DE.
That's a good readback. And yes, it's in DE.
Houston Integrity for update on water ops.
Houston's with you.
For your information, from the time we noted we were starting water ops until now, we have about 7 liters stowed in one of the CWCs. That was with two people working it, and now we're going down to single person ops. So that's just for your tracking purposes. And can you confirm the total number of liters you're hoping to stow?
Happy Christina checking. Okay, Christina. Thanks for that update. We are seeing roughly the same amount of water removed on our end with two people working. We are probably going to work on this for another 20 minutes before we call you off, and then we will take as much water as we can get from those 20 minutes. I'll copy.
We copy all. Thanks. And do you have high confidence in your readings? If so, we will stop tracking on our end.
Christina, yes, we do, and you're welcome to stop tracking, and we'll monitor on our end.
Copy all. Thank you. Houston Integrity, one more water ops update. We are now switching to the secondary line.
Houston copies. And, Christina, for your information, when we are complete with this, our temp still location will be in Locker Delta.
Copy.
Integrity, Houston for Jeremy, not Geo Setup.
Go ahead, Jenny.
Hey, Jeremy. What you called down previously about the unexpected settings wipe was a surprise to us as well. We would like you to re-perform step 3, which is to configure the GoPro Max again with the second or the backup camera. We want to try and understand where if this issue affects both cameras or just the one. We think it might be a rad hit or something.
Reed was in the way. I didn't stow that one yet, so I'll go ahead and swap them out, see what happens.
Yeah. All right, thanks. Good job, Reed.
Integrity, plus X, land heaters are on, and prop avionics are configured.
Integrity copies.
Houston Integrity on one. If you have about 60 seconds for a flywheel thing picture, I would like to give it, but it's not critical. I can do it later today.
Reed, we're ready for it. We'll take it now.
Okay, first things first, huge kudos. It works. The sound suppression is also fantastic. Nobody in the cabin wore earplugs. Nobody had the need to wear them. We were able to communicate at a conversational level. I could hear all radio calls, so that's a huge win. I completed the full 30-minute profile in aerobic. The exact same as the training on the ground. The same forearm muscular tiredness.
but a really good cardio workout. Very pleased with that. A couple things that I did note, equus wall can impact, so we're going to have to rework the equus wall a little bit. Initially, I am building up my own static, little static charge. I can feel myself when I was brushing a piece of the seat aluminum or metal that I would discharge a little bit every now and then. So I am definitely with that strap going in and out, building up a little bit of a static electricity kind of charge. That's something you might want to note. And aside from that, it is a really good piece of gear, and we can actually get a nice workout. I look forward to the next time I get to try a resistance workout. That's all.
Great. Thank you. That is a great report. Appreciate it. Integrity Houston for burn plan uplink update.
Oh.
We have updated burn plans in 5 different swaps. This would include the HEO Rev 2 deorbit burn plan, post-TLI abort plans for both 8-hour and 16 hours post-TLI, and the corresponding RTC last for each of those. And those slots will match what you have in your burn plan. Let me know if you want any more info.
Happy, Chris. Thank you. I see those in burn plan list and understand they'll match what we have in the burn plan. And the words that you said, there are no deltas, right, to our training or any of the things, the materials that we have. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Awesome. Great to see it starting to populate.
Integrity for Nat Geo.
Go ahead, Jeremy.
Yeah, I seem to be getting intermittent, but the same signature from the other GoPro Max as well. If I power it off, even when I leave it plugged in, so I don't think it's a battery issue, it defaults or it comes back on into regular video, not 360 video. So I think we just need to ensure it's in 360 video every time we power it on.
Jeremy, thanks for doing all that troubleshooting for us. That sounds like a working plan for now, and we'll see what other troubleshooting we can do on our end. Thanks.
Okay, the one thing that would make that easier for us and to help prevent us from making a mistake is if we mapped it such that the screen is facing the working volume of the vehicle. The procedure suggests having the screen face the bracket, but since it's 360 video, I'm wondering if that really matters.
Happy, Jeremy. Yeah, you are welcome to mount the screen facing the volume if that is your preference.
That's what we'll do.
Integrity. Custom prop helium isolation valves and optocoupler glitch fitter are configured.
Happy, and we see the same on the SM prop valves. And timeline / optimist question for you when convenient.
We'll take it, Christina. Go ahead.
Thank you. In our optimist plan options, we now see a flight day 2 final V2. Is that the one that you'd like us to be on?
Yes, Christina, that's the one.
Copy that. And question, if we put crew notes on a previous plan, like the flight day 1 plan, after these plans were uploaded but before we switched to them, will you still get those?
Christina, that's a great question. We're going to investigate and get back to you on that.
Happy, thanks.
Integrity Houston, 2 minutes to DSN to Tedros West handover.
Integrity.
Integrity, comm check on Tedros West.
Loud and clear on Tedros. How us?
We have you the same. And Christina, while I have you, with our proximity to TLI, we'd like you and Victor and whoever else is working on the water bag ops, please stand down and we will focus on our TLI prep. And also, please confirm that you are complete with exercise.
Okay, we copy. Victor did get a tiny bit in, but he is standing now, so we are complete with exercise. We also stood down from water ops. Looking forward to TLI.
Houston, one clarification on exercise when you got a second.
Go ahead, Reed.
Hey, Victor is deferring his exercise for now, with just due to time and the water bag. He was our lead water bag filler, so we will want to get him exercise this afternoon, please.
Copy. We will find a time to make that happen. Integrity, for some Nat Geo troubleshooting for Jeremy, when you have a moment.
Go ahead.
Jeremy, we have one small troubleshooting request from you. We're hoping it will not take very long, and it will get us some good data to see what's going on. If you could please, on either Max GoPro, turn it on, and in the bottom left corner of the LCD screen, tap the button that appears there, and see if you can cycle it from video to 360.
Yeah, I can. That's how I've been getting it to 360 mode, is by tapping that.
Okay.
Copy, Jeremy. Thanks. Good data. And then for Reed specifically, but also the entire crew, there is a crew message on board for GoPro exposure adjustments.
Okay. Copy. We got a message on board. Houston, I've got some AGA ratings for you before we power it down when you're ready.
Thanks, Jeremy. We're ready for those.
Okay. CO2 is only 1.2. O2 is 19.1. Pressure is 73.1. And the pressure is 14.4.
Copy. Great reading. Thanks.
And Houston, just for timeline to sync you up, got most things taken care of other than the stuff we told you we've deferred already. The portable speaker, we've got it out, but we're not going to turn it on. We haven't had a need for it yet, and we know there's some ground settings. We don't want to get into that before TLI, but we'll just leave it. We'll get to it later. And then we do want to get some exercise for Victor later. He didn't get much time on that. Other than that, do you have any questions on our timeline?
Thanks for the update, Jeremy. Copy the speaker. And, yes, understand Victor and exercise was cut short earlier today, so we'll prioritize getting him some time this afternoon. Thanks for the questions. Integrity, Starfield maneuvers are starting in 2 minutes.
Copy. Houston Integrity, we just want to make sure at step 15 there's no change to the final burn plan.
Jeremy, we do have some small changes to the burn plan. It's currently being uplinked and should be complete shortly.
Okay, copy that.
Integrity, Houston is ready for the burn conference when you're ready.
Okay, we're ready on board. Go ahead.
All right. Final burn plan has been uplinked. It's on board. We have no new vehicle statuses. We have 3 deltas to the burn pad, referencing burn pad with UTC ground generation, 92 days, 17 hours, 40 minutes, 0 seconds. Let me know when you're ready to copy. Integrity, Houston, did you copy my last?
Yeah, we did. Well, we copied you're talking about the UTC time. We called you but then didn't hear back, so I'll just start over. We are looking at UTC burn pad that we started with earlier today that we changed to V3. It's day 92 and time is 17:40, correct? And we'll save that as version 4.
That's correct, Jeremy. Are you ready for the deltas?
Okay, go ahead, your deltas.
All right, all 3 are in the guidance solution box. Delta VTOTE, 1276.3 feet per second. Ego, 5 minutes. 50 seconds. Delta V feet per second, Z direction, negative 276.7.
Okay, we're going to take another second of TGO and we changed the Z direction and we got the new Delta V tilt of 1276.3.
Good read back. And if you can, we'll take a status of the crew power downs for the pre TLI. Timeline block.
Okay. Power downs are completely Chris.
Copy. Power downs complete. Do you have any questions for us?
We don't have any questions, and I guess we might as well ask you for a go for targeting at minute 31.
You are go?
You can disregard that. We'll just verify and initiate.
You are go. That's exactly right, Jeremy. Expecting that to happen automatically. And Integrity, Starfield maneuvers are complete.
Copy.
Integrity, CLT and orb guide converged. I'm taking a look, but initial results are looking good.
We're just comparing values right now.
Integrity, Houston has completed the pole for TLI. When the engine ignites, you embark on humanity's lunar homecoming arc and set the course to return Integrity and her crew safely home. Houston is go for TLI.
Integrity copies. And your Integrity crew is go for TLI. With this burn to the moon, we do not leave Earth. We choose it.
Integrity copy. Thanks for those beautiful words. Integrity, we've finished verification of our onboard targets. They look good.
Hey, Chris, our comparison looks good as well.
We copy. Integrity, tank pressures are good for the burn.
Integrity copies.
All right, and Houston, and we're showing DBDT, it's fluctuating, but 0.0129, and as we're going positive up to 0.005.
Copy, Jeremy.
And we're watching the Eclipse cabin leak.
Copy, Jeremy. Jeremy, we see DPDT stable. We want you to continue to monitor. Continue to monitor via procedure number 2.1.0.
I noticed a change in the fan speed just prior to that.
Copy, Jeremy, and that tracks with our actions here on the ground. We were just changing the ARS state.
Okay. We will continue to monitor this as well with you in parallel, and we'll keep progressing with the burn.
That's a good read back, Jeremy. Following along with you. Integrity, we see a stable cabin pressure. We believe that this is associated with commanding we were doing for ARS, and we will be doing some suspected leak cleanup actions after TLI. For now, we are continuing to press for TLI.
Bruce, feeling good about where we're at right now. That is all tracking, and we are go to continue.
Houston copies. Thanks, Jeremy. Integrity, maneuver to burn attitude starting in 2 minutes.
Integrity, copy.
Integrity, saws are configured for the burn.
Copy, saws.
Integrity, roughly 1 minute left in our maneuver to burn attitude.
Okay, we show the same.
Integrity, Orion is in burn attitude.
Okay, we show the same.
Integrity, good engine, good control.
Show the same. Feels great up here.
Integrity, looking good.
Integrity, copy.
Integrity, we copy the enabled caution, no crew action.
Okay. Integrity, copy.
Integrity, similar caution, no crew action.
Integrity, copy.
Integrity, looks like a good burn. We're confirming.
Integrity, copy. And Houston Integrity, we just wanted to share a little bit of the sentiment up here as we zooming over just 100 nautical miles above it, if you got a moment.
Please, Jeremy, we are all ears.
But with that successful TLI, the crew's feeling pretty good up here on our way to the moon, and we just wanted to communicate to everyone around the planet who's worked making Artemis possible that we firmly felt the power of your perseverance during every second of that burn. Humanity has once again shown what we are capable of, and it's your hopes to the for the future that carry us now on this journey around the moon.
Thank you for those words. Integrity, 2 minutes until a Tedros West to Tedros East handover.
Integrity copies.
Houston Integrity, our HC stow is complete.
Integrity, we copied our HC stow is complete on Tedros East.
Great, comm check. Houston Integrity, we have lost DU2. It appears it may be power cycling with a DAC message of DU2 comm fail.
Integrity, we copy. We saw that enunciated caution toggle in and out of alarm. Your go to try and power it up.
And Houston, it was in a power cycle after going down, and it has come back up. We are going to go ahead and understand the prop cautions are no action. They are recurring and going away a few seconds later. We'll stand by for any other troubleshooting words on the DU2, but so far it looks like it's nominal.
Thanks, Christina. Good news on DU2. No further actions for you on DU2 reconfig. We'll do any other backside stuff on the ground, and we are taking a look at that prop caution as well.
Copy all, and copy also the good comm check on Tedros.
Yes, Christina, good comm check on Tedros East. And to let you know, we are complete with our post-burn reconfig.
Copy all.
Integrity, we are maneuvering to the Earth-viewing attitude.
Copy, and thank you.
Integrity, we have completed the cleanup steps from our leak suspected warning that has cleared the board. We've reset fitter. And so now we'll be able to detect any changes per a nominal config.
That's great news, Houston. Thank you.
Integrity, 2 minutes to Tedros East to DSM handover.
See you on the other side.
Integrity, Houston, comm check on OE1 on DSM Madrid.
We have you loud and clear.
Copy, we have you the same.
And we are getting just a beautiful view of the dark side of the Earth right now, lit by the moon. Phenomenal.
That sounds amazing. We hope you're taking some pictures for us.
Yeah, none of us can get to lunch because we're glued to the window. We're taking pictures. Reed said he just can't take it anymore.
That tracks. Thanks, Integrity.
It's now been 1 day, 1 hour, and 50 minutes since liftoff of the Artemis II mission. This is Artemis Mission Control here at Johnson Space Center in Houston. We are on our way to the moon after a successful translunar injection burn. We are expecting a news conference this evening to discuss the status of the mission at this point, translunar injection burn itself. That's slated to begin at 8:30 p.m. Eastern, 7:30 p.m. Central Time. It may get a bit of a delayed start.
Integrity, for your information, PCL pointer is set to slot 2 for post-TLI.
Okay, copy. Slot 2, on our way.
Again, as I was mentioning, we are expecting the news conference to start momentarily. If you're watching on YouTube, that news conference will air on this channel, and you don't need to go anywhere. We will have that available as soon as it begins. In the meantime, Orion continues to increase its distance from Earth, now approaching 7,000 miles away from the planet. We've also gotten much closer to the moon. Just about 15 minutes ago, we were 240,000 miles away from our lunar neighbor, and now we are approaching 235,000 miles away. This is Artemis Mission Control. We are standing by for the beginning of today's press conference about the status of the mission and the translunar injection burn. Completed at 5:50 burn. Right on time and put us in the proper position to fly by the moon on flight day 6 and return to Earth on flight day 10. This is Artemis Mission Control at Johnson Space Center in Houston, Texas. Again, we had a successful translunar injection burn that commits us to flying around the moon and coming home. Our crew of four aboard Orion in their midday meal. And here on Earth, we are standing by for the start of our news conference about the status of the mission. If you're watching on NASA's YouTube, you don't need to go anywhere. We're going to bring that to you right here, and we'll be here in Artemis Mission Control.
Integrity, we are maneuvering to biosteal the sun.
Integrity copies.
Integrity, for your information, we had tried to route a camera through CapCam 2 to see the view of the Earth out the window momentarily, and saw a reflection on the window pane, and so we discontinued use of that camera and cut the feed immediately. Just wanted to let you know.
This is Mission Control Houston, Artemis Flight Control Room. We are now MAT 1 day, 2 hours, and 16 minutes since the launch of Orion atop the SLS rocket, Space Launch System rocket, for the first flight of humans aboard the Orion spacecraft. This is Artemis II, and we are now bound for the moon. Crew completed a successful translunar injection burn just about an hour ago. That was a 5:50 burn. Leadership and mission leadership are now discussing the burn and the status of the mission on our other YouTube channel, if you're interested in tuning in. Quiet aboard Orion as the crew is in their midday meal. They have several options of food to choose from, but Jeremy Hansen called down shortly after they entered this time period to let us know that they were all glued to the windows as they were able to see Earth receding. We are now 11,000 miles away from our home planet.
Integrity Houston with some big picture words on your timeline and a few good news on power.
Chris, we're eating. We would love to hear it, but we're not going to take any notes right now. So go ahead, and if we need to call you back later, we will.
Sounds good, Reed. I'm glad you guys are getting some food. We're doing really good on power. We're drawing well below our predictions, so you guys can set DU and cabin lighting per your crew preference. Also want to let you know we've powered on pups 1 and 2 from the ground, so you can take those output switches to on when you're able. Big picture for your timeline. We are going to move the conferences from the end of the day up to immediately post the PAO deactivation activity, starting with the PMC and then the Flight Director Crew Conference. Post-conference, we'll plan to restart exercise with Victor, then Jeremy, then Christina. And that's all I've got for you for now. We'll follow up later. Enjoy your meal.
Hey, Houston Integrity, follow-up question. When do you estimate we will be able to power back on PUP 3?
Christina, PUP 3 should be powered on, and you are go to take the output switch back to on.
Okay, copy that. Apologies if I missed that. I just thought I heard PUPs 1 and 2, so thanks for clarifying.
This is Artemis Mission Control at Johnson Space Center in Houston, Texas. We are now MET 1 day, 2 hours and 36 minutes into the Artemis 2 mission, the first flight of humans aboard the Orion spacecraft. Here in Mission Control, Houston, the Orbit 1 team is conducting their handover with the Orbit 2 flight controllers. And on our other live stream, you are able to watch the ongoing press conference where mission leadership are discussing the status of the mission and answering questions from the media. Everything continuing to look good here. Orion now 14,300 miles from Earth.
Houston Integrity for PCD troubleshooting when convenient.
Go ahead, Christina.
Thanks, Chris. Right before the TLI burn, my PCD went black, and due to the power considerations and having the cobalt brick off, I hadn't troubleshooted it until now. It wouldn't come on.
And Christina, I'm going to interrupt
button,
you just to make sure we have good time with you.
Extended holding of the power button for over 10 seconds, which is usually how we've done hard restarts on PCDs in the past. I recently was able to put it on the charger, and it still is not responsive to anything, including holding down the power button for 10 seconds. Do you guys have any other ideas? Houston Integrity, comm check. Houston Integrity, comm check.
Integrity, we have you loud and clear, but we're showing trouble with DSN forward link. Do you copy?
Houston Integrity has you loud and clear now, and I had made a couple comm checks after your call saying you wanted to make sure you had comm. Our ping is currently showing suspect. Houston Integrity, comm check. Houston
Integrity,
comm check.
We are getting
DSN
you loud and clear, but we believe there's going to be a prolonged delay in you hearing us. This call is originating at MET 0247, 30 seconds.
I copied your call at 0247 at the time. It was 32 seconds. I do think it may have been without a delay. How do you have me?
Christina, I've got you loud and clear, and it does seem like that delay has cleared up. We suspect it was as a result of performing a large file transfer.
Copy all. That sounds great. Do you think that it would be a good time to explain the PCD, or do we expect some more dropouts and delays?
Christina, we're going to take some time to figure out what's going on with our large file transfers, so now is a great time to troubleshoot your PCD. We copied that it went black right before TOI. It's been on a charger, and it's not responsive to your attempts to power it on, even with a 10-second hold. What else did I miss?
Wow, you got it all, and you said it much more succinctly than I did. So great job. I'll be standing by for any good ideas you might have. Thank you.
Okay, copy. We're going to talk for a second down here, and I'll be back with you with hopefully some troubleshooting. Well, I've got you. I do have an answer for your much earlier question on the day regarding our ability to download crew notes from any old onboard plan versions. The answer is yes. Everything gets saved, regardless of which plan or day the comment is on.
Great. Thank you for tracking that down. Good news.
Integrity, Houston has some PCD troubleshooting questions when Christina has a moment.
Go ahead.
All right. We have two questions that are going to help us troubleshoot what might be going on. First is, when you press power button on the PCD, did you see a large battery logo? And then second, on the connector, from the power connector to the PCD, did you see a white LED?
Answers are no and yes, respectively.
Okay, copy that report. And Christina, for you and the crew, We're still wrapping up a wastewater dump, and so toilet will be unavailable for another 15 minutes.
We copy.
Houston Integrity on one for Windows and IVA.
Go ahead, Reed. We're listening.
Hey, Chris. Planet Earth has put on such a spectacular show that we have some grease marks on most of the window panes. Primarily my fault. I did not see a procedure to wipe them down. I do have a large lens cloth, 3M branded. Let me know if I can use that to wipe these inner panes or if you have a particular procedure.
Thanks, Reed, and don't blame you at all for looking back and looking close. We believe we have a procedure for you. We're going to dig that up, and I'll get back to you.
Okay, thanks.
Integrity, we have window cleaning steps when you're ready.
Ready.
Your procedure reference is 26.1.600, titled Window Cleaning. You can execute it as written or use your judgment. Big picture, we'd like you to first start with a dry wipe and water as your primary source to clean those windows. If you need to, you can use a corner of the lens cloth. Our concern is that we just have one of those aboard, and so we'd like to preserve it as best we can.
Okay, thanks. I'll put that to work later.
Welcome to the Artemis Flight Control Room here at Johnson Space Center in Houston, Texas. We are monitoring the flight of Artemis II and our four astronauts, Commander Reed Wiseman, Pilot Victor Glover, and Mission Specialists Christina Cook and Jeremy Hansen on their flight around the moon, first humans to do so in over 50 years. This is also the first flight of humans aboard Orion, and it was a banner day for the spacecraft. At 6:49 p.m. Central Time, the Orion spacecraft executed the translunar injection burn, a 5-minute and 50-second burn that committed the spacecraft to leaving a high Earth orbit, beginning its journey around the moon and back home. This is a live view inside the Artemis Flight Control Room here. The Orbit 2 team is now coming on console to take over from the Orbit 1 shift. If you're watching the news conference, we had a few calls to and from the crew during that time frame. One of those was re-timelining some of the exercise for the crew later today. We are expecting a public affairs event coming up in just about an hour, and they will then execute their exercise on the flywheel afterward. We also had a time period where we had a delay on the forward link of the deep space network. So our communications to the crew were delayed. That was what we believe to be due to a downlink coming down. Command and data handling stopped that downlink, which resumed the on-time communications with the crew. They'll be able to troubleshoot that and work on transferring large files down from the crew. Recently, Christina Cook reported that her PCD, her portable computing device, went dark before translunar injection and has been unresponsive on a charger. So the team here is troubleshooting to see if there's anything they can do to bring that back online. Last but not least, Commander Reed Wiseman said they got great views of the Earth as they continued departing following the translunar injection burn. And just a testament to how everything is planned and tracked in space, he reported that the windows were dirty because the crew enjoyed looking out of them so much, so he called down for procedures on how to clean the windows. It's important to ask for instructions on things like this. As I mentioned, everything is tracked so carefully throughout a mission that it's important to let the crew and the teams know what is being used. This is a live view from the Orion capsule looking back on Earth, our home planet. We are now 18,500 miles away from Earth. When we conducted that translunar injection burn coming up on about 2 hours ago, we were just 115 miles above our planet. Obviously, that has increased exponentially as we are now on the journey to the moon and back home. Currently, Orion is 223,000 miles away from the moon.
Integrity, Houston, with some additional PCD troubleshooting for Christina.
Go ahead for Christina.
Hey, Christina, we have one additional Hail Mary to try and recover your PCD. We're going to suggest that you reseat the power cable and then press and hold the power and volume up simultaneously for 20 seconds. You should be able, if the PC responds, you'll enter BIOS, and you might get a screen in which you can select exit, making a functional PCB at that point. Good luck.
And work. Thank you.
This is Artemis Mission Control now, MET, or Mission Elapsed Time, 1 day, 3 hours, and 10 minutes into the Artemis 2 mission, the first flight of humans around the moon in over 50 years. And we are going to the moon. After a successful translunar injection burn today, we are now over 19,500 miles away from Earth and growing closer to our lunar neighbor, now 222,000 miles away from the moon. The view on the left side of your screen is from Orion, a live view, looking back at our home planet, that small dot. And down in the bottom right-hand screen, you can see Capcom Chris Birch wrapping up her Orbit One shift today, as well as Flight Director Jeff Radigan. They've been leading the teams throughout Orbit One and the translunar injection burn.
Integrity, for your information, toilet is go for use. We're estimating about 5 more uses.
You copy that, and I have a question about the flywheel accelerometer, specifically the software that I'm opening up.
All right, Reed, I'll take your question.
I'm opening the Orion Crew Seat Accelerometer version 1.10.5.0. I got a pop-up that came up that said, confirm disarm. The device is armed. Do you want to disarm it, yes or no?
Affirm, Reed, you do want to arm. Excuse me,
Windows
you do want to disarm.
Armed. Do I want to
you
disarm
do
it, yes or no?
Armed. Sorry, Reed, I think I stepped on you there. We do want you to disarm.
What's that disarm? Get an integrity on one for flywheel accelerometer.
Go ahead, Reed.
It says to secure the two accelerometers, one to the flywheel, one to the hull, with the Velcro, but then also with Kapton tape, which is supposed to be with the accelerometers. I don't see any Kapton tape there, and my judgment is they are very well secured, so I'm not going to put Kapton tape over them. Let me know if you need me to change that.
Reed, that sounds like great judgment to us. That's no problem.
Just an integrity for PCB.
Go ahead, Christina.
Hey, Chris. Fortunately, no joy with that action, and I also had Mike try it. Neither of us were successful getting it to respond in any way.
All right. Unfortunately, Christina, that's all the troubleshooting I have for you for now. We'll do some more thinking and see what we can come up with, but thanks for trying it.
Okay, she acknowledges that. I've got a question for you on the dual camera bracket config for transit. When I got to the threaded rod, just want to check with you, I was supposed to do 6 turns. When I get to 2.5 turns on all of them, I start to feel some resistance. I assume it's a helicoil, so do you want me to push through that resistance to 6 turns? And as long as it's a reasonable amount of resistance, get the caveat.
All right, Jeremy, thanks for that report. We're going to check and get back to you. We think your approach is reasonable, but we're just going to verify.
Okay, standing by.
This is Artemis Mission Control here at the Johnson Space Center in Houston, Texas. This is a visualization known as Arrow, the Artemis Real-Time Orbit website. You can access this at any time on your computer or device by visiting nasa.gov/trackArtemis. And thanks to Arrow, we are able to see that we are now 22,000, almost 23,000 miles away from Earth, keeping up on the moon, now 219,000 miles away from our lunar neighbor. Teams in Mission Control Houston are conducting their handover with the flight director coming on console. We are now 1 day, 3 hours, and 34 minutes mission elapsed time of the Artemis II mission, a test flight and the first flight of humans aboard the Orion spacecraft. Those 4 humans, Commander Reed Wiseman, Pilot Victor Glover, and Mission Specialists Christina Cook and Jeremy Hansen, are preparing for an upcoming public affairs event. They'll be speaking with media clients here on the ground, giving us a good look inside the capsule and letting us know what it's been like to live and work on the spacecraft. We had a big milestone today at 6:49 p.m. Central Time when the OMS, or Orbital Maneuvering System engine, ignited on Orion, powering the translunar injection burn. Until that time, we had been in a high Earth orbit, allowing team time to check out the systems ahead of committing to sending the crew around the moon and also serving as their deorbit burn. It was a successful burn. The crew continues to quickly depart Earth. We will see the closest approach of the crew on flight day 6 during their lunar flyby.
Integrity, Houston, with some dual camera bracket install words for Jeremy.
Okay, before you go ahead with that, Chris, we're going to defer the toilet maintenance to after the PAO event, just FYI.
Okay, Jeremy, we copy. No problem. Are you ready for the dual camera bracket instructions?
Yep, go ahead.
All right, we'd like you to give a little pull test on the fasteners and see if they're snug. It's possible there might be a little play in the system. But if they feel snug, they're not going to come out. You can continue installing the bracket for the procedure, leaving the number of turns as they are. We think we probably have a good enough fit.
Okay, there's no wiggle in the fasteners. They do feel secure. I'll maybe give them another eighth of a turn because I stopped a bit early to snug them up. And then I think that's it for this part of the procedure. I've secured the dual camera bracket to the hatch as described, and there is nothing else to do today. I just want to confirm we're on the same page. I'm just leaving it open.
Copy, Jeremy. That sounds good with your eighth-inch snugging turn. I think the next activity for this will be, I think, on Victor's timeline, but sounds like a good plan. Thanks for checking in.
Okay, copy.
This is Artemis Mission Control here at Johnson Space Center in Houston, Texas. Mission elapsed time, 1 day, 3 hours, 43 minutes. Orion has completed its translunar injection burn today at 6:49 p.m. Central Time as the start of the burn. That was a 5 minute and 50 second burn. Spacecraft and its crew, Reed Wiseman, Victor Glover, Christina Cook, and Jeremy Hansen, are now over 24,000 miles away from the Earth. Lots of movement in mission control right now as the Orbit 1 team is starting to step off console after a very momentous shift. We remain live for our coverage all throughout the mission, all the way until the crew is back home on Earth. Currently, the crew is setting up for their first public affairs event while aboard Orion. Today they also worked on setting up the flywheel. This is the exercise device that they'll use inside Orion, essentially like a rowing device. It allows them to do both aerobic and resistance training. The entire unit is about the size of a suitcase, which is in comparison to over 4,000 pounds of exercise equipment on the International Space Station. Crew in Orion woke up at 1:35 p.m. Central Time today, and they're slated to remain awake until about 3 a.m. Houston time tomorrow, April 3rd. Their sleep was scheduled to be interrupted last night by the perigee rays burn that put us in the proper configuration for the translunar injection burn, and with TLI complete, they will get the opportunity for a full night's sleep tonight.
In Integrity, we are ready for the stream, setting up for the PAO event, and we'd love some help with voice and speech checks.
Okay, we copy. We're ready. Checking. Okay, Integrity. Good scene and good voice quality.
This is Artemis Mission Control. You are getting a live look on console as the Orbit 2 team has come into the Mission Control room. At near the top right of your screen is Flight Director Paul Konya, joined by your new CAPCOMs for today. That'll be Mark Reagan and Sandra Moore. CAPCOM stands for Capsule Communicator, and that's the single voice communicating with the crew aboard Orion. They gather information along with the flight director and make decisions on what can be called to the crew to keep that communication streamlined throughout the day. We are MET, or mission elapsed time, 1 day, 3 hours, and 51 minutes into the flight of Orion, another big day for the crew as they completed the translunar injection burn, 5 minutes and 50 second burn that committed them to flying around the moon on flight day 6 and returning back to Earth with a splashdown in the Pacific Ocean on flight day 10.
If it's possible for us to get fan speed down, you're going to be able to hear it over the PAO microphone, but also it's just very cold on this side of the spacecraft.
Okay, copy.
Pilot Victor Glover calling down about turning down one of the fans in the spacecraft. We are coming up on a public affairs event, the first time that the crew will be speaking with media live from the capsule. We expect that PAO event to start in about 7 minutes. Our four astronauts have been configuring the cabin and the cameras for today's public affairs event. The crew module of Orion has 60% more cubic volume than Apollo. The spacecraft has 330 cubic feet of habitable volume.
Integrity Houston. Unfortunately, the fan speed is as low as we can go right now. Flight rule, you are welcome to try to adjust the direction of those diffusers above the hatch, if that helps any. Drop your thumbs up, Reed.
Crew continuing to set up for the public affairs event. The living space inside the crew module is about the size of two minivans. After the PAO event, the teams here on the ground are timelining some exercise for the crew. Commander Reed Wiseman was able to use the flywheel device earlier. Pilot Victor Glover will do the same after this event, as well as mission specialists Christina Cook and Jeremy Hansen. Checking in on Orion's distance from Earth. Approaching 26,000 miles from our home planet, 216,300 miles away from the moon.
Integrity Houston, you ready for the event? ABC News, this is Mission Control Houston. Please call Integrity for a voice check, which was holding the power and up volume switches simultaneously for 20 seconds and trying to get an exit screen to come up. Thank you, Jeremy.
Can you confirm you need that right now? Because I was going to use it for toilet maintenance, but I can use another PCD if you need this one hardwired right away.
Yeah, Jeremy, we do need PCD-3 for the PMC. So if you could use another one for the toilet maintenance, that'd be great.
Absolutely. Okay, that'll be hardlined in the next 3 minutes.
Okay, copy.
Houston Integrity for VC. I believe we are logged in, waiting on your call.
Copy, Reed. We are dialing now.
Houston Integrity on 1, PMC complete, ready for flight director conference when you are ready.
We are setting up for that. And while we're waiting for that to happen, Jeremy, the answer on this toilet maintenance is that we're already getting close to the bingo, so we'd like you to go ahead and get that started as soon as we're done with this flight director conference.
He copies.
Thank you.
And we're just going to have Jeremy get going on the toilet maintenance now.
Okay, copy that. Sounds good.
And we are switching over to 2 now. Stand by.
Integrity Houston for exercise.
Go ahead, Mark.
Yeah, at this time you have a go for exercise. We'd like to remind you to do the AGA readings before you get started and also ask you to give us the state of charge on the batteries on the accelerometers first.
To get the state of charge on the batteries on the accelerometers, am I going to have to go plug PCD into each of those 2 accelerometers? I'm guessing you're talking on the exercise device.
Actually, Reed, did you catch that when you did the initial activity? Do you remember seeing that?
I do not remember seeing state of charge.
Okay. No, we don't want you to go to the trouble of plugging in a PCD, so we'll catch it on the next one. So disregard that one.
Okay, sounds good. I do have a flywheel Excel data transfer activity later today. I can try to do it then.
Okay, that'd be great. And Reed, when you do that later, that is only on 1 accelerometer, and that'll be fine. We'll just take that reading from the 1, whichever one you choose.
Okay, we'll see where we get to today.
Sounds good.
And Mark, I have AGA readings when you're ready.
We are ready.
PO2, 1.3. O2, 19.0. 4.3 PSI. And 73.2 degrees Fahrenheit.
Okay, copy. Thank you.
It's an integrity question for toilet maintenance.
Go ahead.
Hey, Mark. Jeremy is doing a very thorough cleaning, and notice the
lid on the commode, when you raise the outer lid, the one that, like, you know, has the quarter turn that shut inside there, there's another moving piece that the toilet seat is installed into where the fecal bag is held in. On the bottom ring of that, it appears to be covered in tape or some type of steel protector. We were just curious if you know that that should be removed or if that's actually something to be there. And also, just for your awareness, when you lift the toilet seat up, the cover raises the toilet seat. They're kind of friction fit together. To reach up in there and pull the seat down so that you can actually use it.
Okay, checking on that. Hey, Victor, we are checking on the tape question. The seat lifting issue you described is a known feature, and you're right. You need to make sure you separate them and that the lid is down properly for use. Integrity Houston, the answer on the tape on the toilet seat is that does belong there, so let's please leave it that way.
Okay, we copy. Thanks for checking.
Bet.
Integrity on one, can we start a very quick stream of the HHP camera just for an object?
Integrity, that was unreadable. We're trying something. Hang on a second. Integrity Houston, we are doing some config changes here. When we're ready for a two-way comm check, we'll let you know. Integrity Houston on one with the voice check.
Integrity has you loud and clear, Houston.
Hey, Reed. We were configured to do some high-speed file transfers, and it looks like maybe that squeezed out the voice range a little bit. That's what our problem was. But go ahead and repeat your call just to make sure we are on the same page.
You probably already answered my question. I wanted to know, or just let me know when is a good time for us to try a quick HHP camera downlink to you.
Okay. We are go for that right now.
Not 100% sure I did everything right, but you should have a HHP camera downlink with no audio.
Hey, Reed. Looks like the good news is that was a good test, and what we're seeing is a crew member exercising.
Mike was totally fine with that. We just wanted to do the test real quick. So I'll go ahead and stop it now. We know it's got a good end working.
Right. Excellent. Thank you.
Just an integrity for comments about the PWD when convenient.
Hey, Christina, can you give us a minute?
Of course.
Okay. Now we're ready.
Excellent. Hey, actually, question about that. When I first made the call and there was a pause in calling back, we saw a ping suspect. Do you expect ping to go suspect when you're doing large or high-rate file transfers? We did check and saw we weren't in a handover.
Yeah, Christina, that was an artifact of us trying to push up file transfer rates. We're kind of playing with that in the background to see if we can find a place where we can get files faster, but also not impact COM and overload the buffer. I think what we've decided is we're just going to stay at the safe rate that's been working so far in the mission and play with this a little more tonight after you guys go to bed.
Okay, copy all. Makes sense. We're just trying to understand our displays, and we love the exploration on that one. The original call was about the PWD. Wanted to let you know that after doing a fill, we have been having to wait 30 seconds minimum so that when we remove the water bag after closing the valve, there's not residual water coming out of the dispenser. We've just been implementing that as a workaround to wait that 30 seconds, but wanted to let you know both for your awareness and also to see if there could be a workaround.
Okay, copy the report. Let us talk about it. We'll let you know.
Thanks, Mark. And as you probably imagine, that's a low priority. We're getting by just fine as it is.
Copy that, and glad to hear it. And you certainly look like you're doing great up there.
Appreciate that. It sure is fun.
Hey, Christina, a follow-up on that. Can you describe how much water is coming out in that 30 seconds? And also, is it just trickling, dripping, or is it more of a steady flow for a little while?
Hey, Mark, we will take a video, but if you remove a bag after closing the valve prior to about 30 seconds, a steady stream of water continues to come out, and it might be just a little less than what the standard flow is, but it's definitely a steady stream.
Okay, copy. Thank you.
And to be fair, I've never actually seen the full bore what it would be if the valve were open without a bag on it, so I can't compare, but the stream is steady and maybe about an eighth of an inch wide.
Okay, thank you. Copy. Could you give me a guess of how much volume it ends up being?
We have someone who thinks that what it is just a line's worth of water. Maybe it's just emptying out until the back pressure goes away. Can't say the volume because we always just stick a bag back on it quickly to stop the flow and then wait longer. So I don't have a strong, easy answer for you on that one.
That's good enough for now. Thank you. Integrity Houston for Victor.
Mark, go ahead.
Yeah, on this PAO daily imagery transfer activity, we would like priority on those Earth photos, the first 30 minutes after TLI that Reed was excited about, if possible.
Okay, copy that.
Thank you.
Houston Integrity on one for a window inspection on Reed's timeline.
We're with you.
Hey, Mark, is there anyone there that can tell us what the end goal is of this? Are we trying to do the interior panes or all the panes all the way through? I know it says I can dim cabin lights, but it's next to impossible to get a clean image of these windows.
Hey, Reed, we're trying to just get a good characterization of all the panes and understand how clear they are before we go and do the observations through them. So understanding the overall condition is the goal here. So if you see any scratches or imperfections, that's of most interest, and especially if it looks like it's in the outer panes. And understand that the photos might be difficult in the lighting, and so just best effort on that if you find anything that warrants a photo.
Okay, sounds good. I will do my best. Thank you.
Sure, thank you.
Integrity for exercise.
Go ahead, Christina.
Yes, I'm in the flywheel exercise ops procedure step 8.4. This is our first time with the accelerometers configured, and it does say on MCCH Go, switch them both to the on position. I actually just did that. Is that going to be okay?
Yes, it's going to be okay. So you have a go in hindsight.
Thank you for the retroactive go. Do you need us to get the accelerometer go every time, or is this just a final check to make sure we're go for exercise?
Checking. Hey, Christina. Those files are basically only able to record as long as the exercise is scheduled. So the important thing here is that you turn it on right before you start and that you also turn it off when you finish. And then we get a new file going for the next person. So if you guys can remember that and understand that, then you don't have to report that every time.
Happy all. Thank you.
Thank you.
You said Integrity on one for window inspections.
With you on one.
Mark, I will put all those images on PCD1 in a folder under imagery for downlink window inspection. I'll make sure that's what it says in the procedure. I'll double check that. And then just big picture, there's just a few little blemishes here and there, a couple little scrapes on the most innermost panes. And then there are some blemishes on the outer panes. Obviously, we're not going to be able to do anything about. The most notable one is on window one. So what we're calling window one is the portmost window. There it looks like just a touch of charring on the outer edge. I think it occurred during last jettison. I noticed it on the way uphill. Shouldn't be a factor for a photograph, but you'll hopefully see it in the picture. It's really hard to get a picture of it. It's very small.
Okay, Reed, copy all of that. Thank you for that report. And actually, we don't need you to downlink those. We'll get those for post-flight analysis.
Oh, that's outstanding. Okay, perfect. Thank you.
Integrity for portable speaker.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I've connected the portable speaker to B1's AIU. I put it into J2 instead of J3. I don't think that makes a difference, but if it does, let me know. I can swap it over. We had a Peltor headset hooked up in J3 already, just sitting there. I'm just going to leave it connected.
Yeah, Jeremy, those are fine. J2 and J3 are functionally the same. We have one command, but thank you for letting us know where that is.
Okay. And so over to you guys to do your configuration then, and I guess the speaker will just start working.
Checking. Yeah, Jeremy, our command is to prevent feedback. You'll still need to make sure that you've plugged in the USB port for power and turned on the knob.
Okay, those are done, and it has a light on it, and the knob is full volume.
So, Jeremy, testing, are you hearing this call through it?
Try one more test, Mark. Give us a 5 count.
Testing on the portable speaker. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Okay, we're not hearing anything. Let us troubleshoot a little bit.
If there's nothing you see that's obvious, we'll go ahead and send that command as a first troubleshooting effort.
Yes, please send it.
Okay, in work. Okay, that has been sent. How are you hearing me now through the speaker?
No apparent change.
Okay, well, let us scratch our heads.
Jeremy is unplugging the Peltor and putting it in J3.
Okay, copy. Okay, guys, are you over on J3? And if so, are you hearing any difference?
First question, Mark. This is on seat 1 umbilical, so don't we need seat 1 on listen?
Checking.